Pianos and Pianos and the unique technique Accelerated Piano Method guarantees you'll be playing exciting songs with both hands in just 8 weeks. Click on the video now to go to their website. The unique technique Accelerated Piano Method, only at Pianos and Pianos.
Flu. Reporter Sabrina Gibbons in Atlanta says an advisory committee of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is meeting there today.
By the end of the day, we should know who will be recommended to get vaccinated against the H1N1 swine flu virus, the CDC's Tom Skinner.
We're probably going to see the committee come up with a series of recommendations.
Skinner says it's still not clear just how much vaccine might be available or when it will be available, but healthcare workers, children, and pregnant women would be among the first in line to get the vaccine.
I'm Vicki Barker live in London, where a new study says pregnant women who get swine flu are at least 4 times as likely to be hospitalized as other sufferers. A CDC study published in The Lancet here says it's not clear if pregnant women are more susceptible, but if they do catch the virus,
they're more likely to have severe disease and more likely to die.
Denise Jameson of the CDC says pregnant women who start experiencing flu-like symptoms should seek medical attention fast. Nick?
As senators try to hash out a health care compromise, negotiators have settled on making $35 billion in Medicare cuts. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has more from Capitol Hill.
If Congress passes a health reform bill, it could be quite different from the proposals getting the most attention. Senate Democratic Leader Harry Reid says there will be compromises.
But I have a responsibility to get a bill on the Senate floor that will get 60 votes.
Republican John Kyle probably won't be one of them.
When it's all said and done, we'll come back in September and we'll say, let's start all over again.
But a few Republican moderates are negotiating on a bill they would be able to join Democrats in supporting.
I'm Peter Mayer. President Obama hits the road again today to campaign for health care reform. First stop, North Carolina, already the scene of an intense debate.
State workers recently rallied outside a forum where the North Carolina Medical Society's Bob Seligson criticized the approach to health care reform.
It's unfair to Americans. I think our citizens deserve better.
President Obama, of course, will reject that kind of talk as he presses for congressional action on health care reform this year.
Well, shopping for an air conditioner in the midst of a summer heat wave is not unusual unless you live in the Pacific Northwest.
We'll give it a try. That gives out pretty good air, doesn't it?
I'm Heather Bosch in Seattle, where it's rare for the temperature to hit 100.
It's too hot.
Uncomfortably hot.
It's just I'm already too warm.
It's exhausting.
I don't do heat.
No sympathy, though, from these tourists.
We're from near L.A., and it's hotter there than it is here, so.
So we're like wimps up here in Seattle.
Maybe.
Keep in mind, though, most of us don't have air conditioners.
The mercury's forecast to hit 98 in Seattle today, 104 in Portland, Oregon. There is nothing quite like a day at the beach, but how safe is dipping a toe in the water? The Natural Resources Defense Council is releasing its annual report on water quality at 6,000 beaches. Council's Nancy Stoner says too many of them fail the quality test.
There were more than 20,000 beach closings and advisories last year. There have been more than 20,000 for 4 years in a row. And that indicates a very serious level of contamination of our beaches.
And Stoner says humans have no one to blame but themselves. Cancer experts now say there is no doubt tanning beds and other sources of ultraviolet radiation pose a definite cancer risk, ranking alongside asbestos and tobacco. CBS News medical correspondent Dr. John LaPook says the young face the greatest risk.
Teenagers are particularly a problem.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. AM 7.
From Consumer Reports, some common camera goofs. I'm Ernie Sprantz. As part of a test of digital cameras for the July issue, Consumer Reports surveyed some 8,200 online subscribers about the care and feeding of their digital cameras. Many failed to make the best use of their new point and shoots. 66% didn't regularly clean the camera lens. You should clean the lens before each use. This minimizes the risk of focusing problems and blurry areas on pictures. 45% left photos in their camera for at least a month. Photo files should be copied to a backup device, like a hard drive, soon after capture. This reduces the risk of theft or deletion. 39% didn't know whether the camera had scene modes, image stabilization, face detection, or burst mode. These features make shooting easier and can improve your photos, so check the manual for features you may be unaware of. 28% of those surveyed told us they cleaned the lens with a shirt sleeve, household tissue, or canned air. You should clean your lens gently with a microfiber lens cloth and lens cleaning fluid. This way, you won't scratch or otherwise damage the surface. And finally, for those upgrading to a newer camera, 13% disposed of their old camera in the trash. If possible, sell your current camera, give it away, or recycle it. I'm Ernie Sprent for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org. Reports, cooling your home. I'm Ernie Sprent. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have ductwork for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no ductwork. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rude, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Ernie Sprenz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday, July 29, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Bill Press Show. We're here in our nation's capital, keeping our eye on what's going on just down the street here on Capitol Hill at the United States Congress, and what's going on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue down at the White House. In fact, we got our fingers in both operations, bringing you the latest, good and the bad, and then giving you a chance to weigh in and talk about it. 866-55-PRESS is our toll-free number, 866-55-77-377. On the website today, as always, a list of those Democratic senators who still need a push, still need a little pressure to support the public plan option. And underneath the list of the senators, we want to get a message to the White House as well. And one of the best ways to do that is this new, it's kind of a petition for a public plan option, Citizens for a Public Plan Option. There's a link to it on the website as well. So if you've already emailed the senators, do it again. If you haven't done so, do it now. Just click on their names and then go to the right underneath of it, the Citizens for a Public Plan Option, and click on there and send in your message. Just sign up and be join the thousands and thousands of Americans who say public plan option has got to be part of any health care reform legislation. What about it?
And that petition is backed by Schumer, Leahy, and Durbin, I believe. So it's their thing.
All right, so it's got some good backing.
Yeah.
Peter Ogburn, Dan Henning, good morning, guys.
Oh, hello there.
Hi there.
I just want you to know this is in the line of no kidding, I guess. This front page story, yesterday's New York Times, there's a big study. It was done by Virginia Tech Transportation Institute. They did a study about texting while driving.
You know, I heard about this, and the news made such a big deal about it.
And they found out that these are with truckers, right? Truckers like our ambassador, roving ambassador Arnold, that when truckers were texting while driving, they were the risk of having an accident was 23 times greater than when they were non-texting. I mean, I saw that, I thought, duh. Yeah, like, no kidding. You're texting while driving. Of course, you're more likely to have an accident.
You have to be
an idiot to text while driving. Yeah,
making a cell phone call. Fine, we can have that argument. And banning cell phones while driving,
still
I think, a little risky.
Yeah,
I think that you can easily handle a cell phone and drive, but texting and driving, no way.
Let me tell you something. No, Anna, no. No. Particularly an 18-wheeler, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. You're driving that 18-wheeler down the highway, all of that power, all of that. Ooh, man.
My little 4-wheeler, it's okay.
No. Texting? No way. There have been some serious accidents already caused by texting. But anyhow, I saw that and I couldn't believe it. They have to do a study to show that texting while driving is dangerous.
And it wasn't cheap either.
We have a lot of trucker friends out there that listen to the show.
Arnold,
put the phone down if you're thinking about texting. Just
now, if you think about calling us,
that's another story.
But don't do it handheld either.
Right.
All right. So we got all the rules laid out here. Man, 10 minutes after the hour now. Yes, indeed. We're going to be talking about 20 minutes from now with one of the heads of the Economic Policy Institute about the healthcare reform legislation now working its way through Congress and what impact it will have on small businesses. And one of the leaders of the fight for healthcare reform legislation, long, long, long before President Obama ever got on the job, Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, member of the Senate Help Committee, joining us here back on the show today to let us know what progress we're making. Hey, Senator, always good to talk to you.
Hey, Bill, nice to be with you this morning.
Now, Senator, the front page of the Washington Post this morning says big news that the Committee of Six on the Senate Finance Committee, 3 Democrats, 3 Republicans, are almost finished now with their, discussions, and pretty soon they're going to have a bill out of their committee. Here's my question. We already have a damn good bill out of the Senate Help Committee. Why do we need that Senate Finance Committee bill?
Well, good question, Bill. That's a good question. Well, I guess because there's some revenues that have to be raised, and, the Finance Committee has jurisdiction over revenues. But quite frankly, you're right. The bill that we got out of Health Committee is broadly supported by Democrats. It's a bill that moves us away from this dysfunctional system we have now, provides for a public option, provides for employer mandates.
Right.
Has a lot of good stuff in our prevention and health and wellness programs. But the Finance Committee has jurisdiction over revenue, so we have to wait for them to come out with it. And let me tell you, I don't much care for.
No, I'm nervous about it too. And Senator, they do have jurisdiction over finance, but it seems to me they're going beyond that, because from what we see and what we read in the Post this morning, is their legislation would have no public plan option and it would have no employer mandate in it. So they're just going in the opposite direction, it seems, from where you and the Help Committee have gone.
Well, I think keep one thing in mind, Bill, when that bill comes out of finance, and we have our bill out of our committee, that the leader, Harry Reid, Senator Reid, has the authority to sort of put the two together as he sees fit and brings it out on the floor. So I'm hopeful that the bill that does come out on the floor will have at least our strong our public option in there and some of the other things dealing with employer mandates and things like that.
Well, what is the process, Senator? How does that work? Did the two leaders of the two committees get together and come up with a joint product, or does Senator Reid just say, I'll take this and I'll take that, and he works it out?
Well, from what I understand, the leader, Senator Reid, gets to make the decision on what bill comes to the floor. And so he can pick and choose and sort of put together the bill himself. But, of course, obviously he's going to have to, check with the leaders of the two committees and stuff. But obviously he can't put both bills forward because they're not compatible.
He can mix and match. Do you believe, Senator Harkin, do you believe right now, given what you've seen, we thought we were going to have this done by the August recess. It's not going to happen. Do you believe that there will be health care reform legislation this year?
Well, let me put it this way. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful that the president will become more involved in this process now, we'll get a decent bill through the Senate and the House, and get it to the president sometime in October. I thought maybe by early October. Now looks like probably by November. But I got to believe that the momentum is there to get something done. Like I said, what we've got in our Senate bill and the Help Committee, what I see they're putting together in the House, has all the markings of a genuine health reform bill, and I hope that's what finally comes through.
Why isn't, Senator, why wasn't single payer one of the options considered by the Congress? Yeah, this is something you've supported for a long time.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, when every time people talk about saving money and having choice and single payer is the only thing that's really going to help bend that cost curve down. But it's just, you know, sort of off the table. Well, Senator Sanders, is going to make sure that when we get on the floor, that he will offer a substitute that will be a single payer system. At least we'll have a good debate on it and at least be able to flesh it out and let the public know what a single payer would do in terms of really making our healthcare system better and more affordable for everyone.
Well, that's good to know, and I'm glad that Senator Sanders, I'm sure with your support, is going to do that, because at least that'll be the first time really there's a debate, I guess, on single payer on the floor of the Senate, right?
That'll be the first time, and I want to make sure, and then we're talking to Leader Reid about this now, although it's a little premature, but make sure we have a decent amount of time to discuss it and lay it out and have a good debate on it.
Now, Senator Harkin, there are always reasons why, you know, single payer maybe not there. President Obama says it's because if we were starting from scratch, you know, we might have single payer, but since we're not starting from scratch, we can't. So as a substitute, sort of as the compromise, he came up with the public plan option, or somebody did, and it's out there. Now, I've been at the White House briefing for the last 2 days, and now the White House is saying, well, we don't have a preference between the public plan option and this co-op idea that some of your fellow senators have come up with. Do you have a preference between a public plan option and this co-op?
Well, Bill, first of all, I haven't seen what this co-op plan is.
I don't think any of us know, do we?
No, none of us know what the heck they're talking about. Now, the question I would raise is this. You know, the good thing about this public option that we have in our bill is it's a national plan.
Right.
It's fully portable. You're covered wherever you go. And because it's a national plan, that means that it'll be cheaper because you'll have more people in the pool. If you have a whole bunch of co-ops out there, I don't see how they can, get the price down for everyone and how they make it fully portable from one co-op area to the next co-op area, because you'd have different plans and different prices and everything else.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they solve that problem.
You know what? I don't either, Senator. I've been trying to figure it out, because my understanding is yours, that the co-ops would be, they'd be regional in nature or maybe statewide in nature, but they wouldn't be national, you know?
Right.
And so you don't have that big pool. You don't have the potential for the cost savings.
Right. And one of the reasons we want that public option plan, as you know, Bill, is so we can really get cost savings as a counter to the insurance companies. In other words, it's going to put pressure on them to make sure that their plans are more affordable. If you have a co-op and they're more expensive, then there won't be anything to kind of drive the prices down, if you see what I mean.
I see exactly what you mean, and I see it the same way. I'm just nervous when I hear the White House now say they don't have a preference between one or the other. I think they're two different animals, you know, two different products.
Well, unless somehow they come up with a national co-op that is just a mirror image of what we've done. But if you're going to have regional or state co-ops, I just don't see how they're going to make the pool big enough to get the price down so that it's really price competitive with the insurance companies.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm nervous the way this is going, but I'm so glad that you are right in the middle of the process, Senator. I mean, that gives me more confidence. I have to ask you about another issue. Senator Tom Harkin from Iowa, our guest here on the Bill Press Show, and you honor us by coming back on the show, Senator. Let me ask you, the card check. We've talked about this before. You've been the real champion of card check legislation in the Senate. We heard a couple of weeks ago that the card check itself has been dropped. Are we going to get anything close to it for American working men and women?
Well, Bill, as you know, I have been leading the effort on this since Senator Kennedy asked me to take it over last December. As you know, the Chamber of Commerce has spent millions of dollars misleading the public as to what this is all about.
Right.
Again, just to make it as clear as I can, right now, employers can decide whether or not the workers have to have an election or whether they can just sign a card to form a union. Now, the employer can decide that, but the employees can't. So why shouldn't it be both sides have the buck? You know, why don't we level the playing field? That's what this is about. It's about leveling the playing field.
Yep.
If the employers can decide that, why shouldn't the employees also have that freedom of choice?
Makes total sense. Absolutely.
It really does. And it's fair. But now where we are in this process, I'm going to be just as honest as I can. You're a great friend. But I have not commented on where we are in the negotiations and what we have decided or haven't decided. I will say this, Bill, that we put it on hold for right now. We put it on hold because, quite frankly, we're missing two votes in the Senate right mm-hmm. now, Senator Kennedy and Senator Byrd. If that dynamic changes sometime this fall, I believe we are very close to having a deal that will bring out a bill that can get the 60 Democratic votes and then get over 51 votes to pass in the Senate. But we have to have two votes because we will not pick up one Republican vote for this. I can assure you on that.
Well, I don't have to tell you that this is a number one priority of organized labor and, you know, a lot of people who really worked very, very hard in the last campaign to elect Democrats to the House, to the Senate, and to the White House. And so it's a top priority, Senator. I'm glad you haven't given up on it. It's very important. And, keep fighting the good fight. I know you will.
Well, we will. I will, Bill. We're going to get this card check thing through. It's just we just had a couple of bumps in the road that we just hadn't planned on, and I sure you can understand that. But believe me, I'm not giving up on this fight.
All right. It's in good hands. That battle is in good hands, good leadership. Thanks, Senator Harkin. Thanks so much. Have a good weekend. Good to join us. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Bill. Yeah.
All right, great. A good weekend. It's only Wednesday. Well, what the hell is weekend starts early, I guess, here. He is such a great leader. You know what? God, again. We had 50 Tom Harkins, man. This would be a better country, and we'd get a hell of a lot better deal out of the U.S. Senate.
Actively interactive
at BillPressShow.com.
The Bill Press Show.
Attention, Dr. Heisen is currently seeking participants who have severe headaches. If you have one or more headaches per month, if you've been diagnosed with migraine or tension headaches, or experience nausea and light sensitivity along with your headaches, you are eligible to receive a free trial of Dr. Heisen's headache system. After 10 years of intensive research, it has been discovered that this medical breakthrough can relieve even the most severe headaches in just minutes, without pills or side effects. Now you can participate in a free 30-day trial of this headache-fighting discovery free just by calling today. Previously available only to his patients, Dr. Heisen's headache system is now available for a limited time to headache sufferers in your area. So if you or someone you know would benefit from headache relief in just minutes without pain pills or their side effects, you are eligible to participate in this exclusive free trial of Dr. Heisen's headache system. Call this number and find out how to get your free trial. 800-928-1317. That number again is 800-928-1317. 800-928-1317.
I'm living paycheck to paycheck. We're so far into debt.
All we do is fight about it.
We don't know what to do anymore.
How would you like to get a call finding out that your Visa bill had been reduced from $8,000 to $4,800? What about discovering you had an extra $500 to $1,200 in your budget per month because of what you are saving on your credit card bills? All of these dreams are possible when you make 1 5-minute call to Jordan McKenna. They will match you to a reputable law firm that can stop harassing collection calls, reduce your monthly payments, and save you literally thousands of dollars off your credit card debt. They work for you, not the credit card company, so you can get the maximum savings possible for your situation. Call for free information now. 800-204-6773. Individual results will vary, so please review all program details and terms. Call 800-204-6773. That's 800-204-6773. 800-204-6773.
We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era.
Ladies and gentlemen,
presenting
Austrian fashionista Bruno has burst onto the silver screen to very good but not incredible reviews. In this follow-up to 2006's Borat mockumentary, creator Sacha Baron Cohen once again dances perilously close to the edge of the comedy cliff. Prepare for one of the most outrageous, insensitive, elaborate, offensive movies of recent times.
When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of Idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a 9th season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January.
760.net.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Okay, small business, how are they impacted by the health care reform legislation? It's one of the big questions that everybody is raising. We'll get into that in our next segment of the Bill Press Show. Meanwhile, you got to admit, it's just 3 days now already since Sarah Palin said goodbye, but the majesty of her rhapsodic language in her final speech about the magnificent scenery of Alaska is something we will never forget.
Soaring through nature's finest show, Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun, and then the extremes. In the wintertime, it's the frozen road that is competing with the view of ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chichacos from the sourdoughs?
I think it does. I really think it does. In fact, I think you could take word for word what she said and put it to music. William Shatner did.
Soaring through nature's finest snow.
Word for word.
Denali, the great one, soaring under the midnight sun.
Word for word.
And then the extremes in the wintertime. It's the frozen road that is competing with all of its ice-fogged, frigid beauty. The cold, though, doesn't it split the chichacos from the sourdough? And then in the summertime, such extremes. Summertime, about 150 degrees hotter than just some months ago, and then just some months from now. With fireweed blooming along the frost heaves and merciless rivers that are rushing and carving and reminding us that here, Mother Nature wins, and it is as throughout all...
Oh, there he is, William Shatner on Conan O'Brien. What a great, great job. All right. Small business, will it be helped or hurt by Obama's health care reform legislation? That's next, right here on the Bill Press Show.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Mom, I need your help with math.
How can I help?
I just don't get it.
Well, let me see. I don't remember how to do these either.
I'll never pass.
Sound familiar? Test pressures and fear of failing grades haunt many students. As a parent, you want to help, but you're at a loss when it comes to today's math. How can you help your child without spending on pricey learning centers or expensive private tutors? Now there's a proven solution with a Math Made Easy tutorial system designed to improve test scores and get rid of those math test anxieties forever. Summer is the perfect time to strengthen students' math skills and give them a head start on next year's math. Top-notch teachers will coach your child in how to break down math problems into the 5 essential steps, which will enable your child to master math in almost no time. Best of all, Math Made Easy is affordable for nearly everyone. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call us now to get your free trial. Call 866-507-MATH. That's 866-507-MATH.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Just one small problem around the metro if you're getting out for your morning commute.
When you opened your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you followed your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil, to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
Hey, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Attention Boulder County residents. Did you know you can go solar now with no money and one low annual payment? Rebates and tax incentives can reduce the cost of a solar system by up to 60%. You can save as much as $40,000. Learn how Wednesday, August 5th, 7 p.m. at the Louisville Recreation Center. Save up to $1,000 more just by attending this event. RSVP at solaripsi.com/climatesmart or call 303-443-0115. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Save money with Bargain Watch at AM760.net. This week, buy a $500 CalSpas gift certificate for only $100. Plus, tons of coupons from businesses all around town, brought to you by Comcast. Click on Bargain Watch at AM760.net.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
As the first season of Discovery Channel's Pitchmen drew to a close, infomercial star and series frontman Billy Mays passed away in his sleep at the age of 50. The series followed Mays and his longtime business partner and fellow pitchman Anthony Sully Sullivan as they attempted to market new inventions and products. No word yet dude, for a second season.
Holothon, Saturday, August 8th.
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
The official morning show of the Obama generation, The Bill Press Show.
33 minutes after the hour, Wednesday, July 29, The Bill Press Show, coming to you live coast to coast from our little radio studio here on Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C., and celebrating the next 100 years of engineering excellence at the GMC Summer Event. Check out the legendary 2009 Sierra 1500 or the 8-passenger Acadia. For more information, go to gmcdealer.com. You can take delivery by July 31, 2 days from now. See your dealer for details. All right, so here's a headline from yesterday's Hill, the Hill newspaper. Healthcare focus turns to small biz, as in small business. We hear more and more about it. In fact, the so-called Blue Dog or Blue Cross Democrats in the House have said the reason they're fighting for more, they're not going along with the healthcare reform legislation, is they're not sure how good it is for small businesses. Well, we wanted to check into that. The Economic Policy Institute has recently released a study on the impact of healthcare reform legislation as proposed by the three House committees on small businesses. And we welcome Elise Gould from the Economic Policy Institute to the program. Hey, Elise, good morning.
Good morning.
So overall, small businesses helped or hurt by we're talking about the House legislation, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
So let's focus on that because we don't know what the Senate Finance Committee is going to come up with.
Really.
Who knows? So in the House bill, small business owners have to fear it or maybe benefit from it?
I think on the whole they're going to benefit from it, particularly those small businesses now who are offering insurance. They're going to actually stand to gain the most. But I think all small businesses...
Why is that? Because they get a tax credit or what?
Well, those that are providing health insurance already are going to see their premiums drop precipitously. They're going to see huge cost savings. If they continue continuing to offer health insurance to their employees, they're going to get a tax credit.
Uh-huh.
They're going to also see that their rates are going to decline. If they try to purchase through the exchange, they're going to see efficiency gains by lower administrative costs, by better offers of health coverage, by no more costly medical underwriting of their employees. And all of those things are going to lower costs. If we look at a bill that's very similar to what the House released, we saw cost savings of about $3,500 per worker for those offering firms.
Whoa.
And the House bill is actually even more generous to small business. It exempts the smallest of small businesses from any requirement.
The smallest of small meeting, how many employees?
Well, it's not by number of employees. It's actually by payroll. So
okay.
Those that have a lower payroll are going to be exempt. Those that have a slightly higher payroll have to pay a more modest contribution. And then once you get over a certain size, then you're going to be required to either offer insurance of minimal quality to your employees or pay into the exchange to make sure that your workers are then going to get covered through the exchange.
Well, I want to come back to those that are exempt, right, because they don't have a big enough payroll, right? That means that those workers in those businesses are not going to be covered. Right. So doesn't that run counter to the goal of universal coverage?
I think that is absolutely correct. I think it's a political interest to make sure that those small businesses are not hurt. But the fact is that the percent of those small businesses that are already offering coverage will continue doing it. Just because there's an exemption doesn't mean that they won't still want to offer it. Right now, there's no requirement, and there are many small businesses that offer it. And so we'll see that those businesses will still continue to offer coverage. And the hope is that as it becomes more and more affordable for small businesses to offer, even if they're not required to, I think that they will start offering because it's good for business.
Now, where does a public plan option fit in? Could businesses be part of that?
Absolutely. When businesses participate either through purchasing through the exchange or by the payroll contribution that would help enroll their workers through the exchange, they would have the option of not only purchasing through private insurance companies in the exchange or through the public health insurance option. They could do that directly. What the public health insurance option also offers is a check on private companies and helps to contain costs in the long run. It's an extra sort of option, an insurance company option that is provided by the public sector that doesn't have the profit motive. And not having the profit motive can help consumers and can also change the way that healthcare providers and hospitals are paid. And so it could actually serve to change the incentives in the system to help increase the quality of care that's being provided.
Elise Gould is our guest. She is with the Economic Policy Institute. What is your website, Elise, again?
Oh, sure. It's www.epi, for Economic Policy Institute, .org.
Yeah, they do great work. I've used their work ever since I've been doing, I think, radio and television commentary, even before I moved to Washington, epi.org. Now, when the surtax, there's a surtax on, I think the speaker said she wanted to raise it to $500,000 per individual if people are making more than that, or $1 million for a couple. Everybody said right away, oh, this is it. This is going to shut down, force small businesses out of business, right? Force them to close their doors. How, let's assume, again, that we have health care legislation with paid for by a surtax on those wealthiest of Americans. How will that impact small business?
I think that's going to have little to no impact on small business. Small business, as we think of them traditionally in this country, we're talking about mom-and-pop shops. These are not the wealthiest of wealthy people. When you talk about single person who's making more than $500,000, sure, it's possible that some share of their income is going to come from some investment in a business. They could be a law partner, right, or partner in an accounting firm. That is not what we think of when we think of a small business, that they have some share of their income from this kind of small business investment. When we think of small business, we really think of someone who has the majority or at least half of their income from that small business, and that is a very small percentage of those high-income people. The people that are growing this economy, those small businesses are not reached on the whole by that surcharge.
So these are people like, as you say, like sort of law firms who sort of sell themselves as small business, really legitimately so, is that what you're saying?
Right, well, they could be getting business income. They may not be small business at all. They could be large firms, right?
Yeah.
But if you're a partner in a law firm, you're going to be filing that Schedule C that's going to be counted as business income. But that's not necessarily small business income, nor, as you say, what we really think of when we think of as small businesses.
You're trying to tell me that those little, like, hot dog vendors we see on the streets of Washington, D.C., that those people are not making $500,000 a year?
That's right.
I can't believe it.
I know. It's hard to believe. And if they have a family, they'd have to be making more than $1 million to be hit by the surcharge.
Well, they're not going to make it on the hot dogs that I buy from them, I'll tell you.
I guess they probably won't continue selling hot dogs if they're making that much money.
That would be my guess as well. I want to come back to this employer mandate because I'm always puzzled by it. Now, I just want to say, the Bill Press Show, right, is owned by Bill Press Partners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have three employees. I'm one of them. I'm looking at the other two right here. Okay.
Right.
You can't get, well, you could get smaller than that, but not much smaller than that, right?
Right.
Okay. We provide health insurance for all three of our employees. I mean, it seems to me, what's wrong with a mandate saying that any business, every business rather, has to provide health insurance for their employees just as a price of doing business?
I don't think that's a bad idea. I mean, if you can afford to do it, as a small business, then it would seem like more people can do it, especially if we reform the health insurance market. If we make it such
right.
that, let's say one of your employees was really sick or they had a family member who was really sick. In today's marketplace for health insurance, for a small business, you could be easily priced out of the market, or there could be all sorts of riders and exclusions placed on your health plan such that it wouldn't cover that person for that illness, which is what
yep.
they really need health insurance for. So if we were to adequately reform the system, that would lower the cost for small businesses dramatically. I don't see why we wouldn't require all small businesses, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but in the near future, to make sure that they can provide health insurance to all their workers.
Because, again, if your goal is universal coverage, and if every job, right, is covered at the job, whether it's big business or small business, part-time or whatever, you've gone a long way toward universal coverage.
Absolutely. What there is enough in the House bill that can help workers who are in small firms who are not providing insurance, and that is if they're low income, then they could get subsidies through the exchange to make sure that they can afford to be enrolled. And individuals can also enroll through the exchange. But I think you're absolutely right. I think we really want to think about a requirement to make sure that everyone is covered. But also we want to remember that in an economy like today where people are losing their jobs every day, and therefore they're losing access to employer-sponsored health insurance, which the majority of under 65 Americans get, then we want to make sure there's another way for them to get insurance. And that is through this exchange with, I think, a mandatory public health insurance option, which is going to help control costs. So there has to be an option out there for people when they lose their job.
Good work, Elise. Good work. Again, the website is epi.org, the Economic Policy Institute, and I think The bottom line is this is going to be good for small business, and anytime you hear the Republicans stand up and whine about it's going to hurt small business, don't believe them. It's just another big lie. Thanks, Elise, for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
All right, glad she's there, glad she's doing that word out there. And, yeah, so the Blue Cross Democrats, yeah, stop saying you're standing up for small business. Small business is what in the House legislation. And they're going to get better insurance and cheaper insurance once this bill becomes law. Let's be positive.
Every time I turn the Bill Press Show, I get pumped up.
You're listening to the official morning show of the Obama generation.
Well, I don't need coffee. I throw the coffee out the window.
This is the Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away 500 free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-914-5076. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-914-5076. 1-800-914-5076. That's 1-800-914-5076.
Announcing double cash for your old car at your Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealer. Turn in your old car and get up to $4,500 government credit toward one of our new, more fuel-efficient vehicles. Plus, everyone gets up to $4,500 cash allowance on virtually every one of our models. Get to your Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealer today. $3,500 or $4,500 government credit and $3,500 to $4,500 factory cash allowance when you turn in your old vehicle, PG, and purchase an eligible new vehicle. Submitting dealer for eligibility details, visit cars.gov. Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group, LLC.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Traffic's starting to get a little heavy for us, especially on southbound I-20.
From Consumer Reports, an e-book showdown, I'm Ernie Sprantz. If you're shopping for an e-book reader, as in portable electronic text display, two brands dominate, Sony and Amazon. For the July issue, Consumer Reports compared the Amazon Kindle 2 and Sony Reader PRS-700BC. To start, the Sony requires you to install software on your PC. It's not Mac compatible, and connect via USB to download new cars wireless, connecting automatically and at no extra cost to your Amazon.com account. It took an hour or so to set up the Sony, about 5 minutes for the Kindle. Both have a 6-inch black and white screen. Reading in a range of light conditions is generally fine, though on the Kindle, type and images are rendered more crisply and accurately. As far as navigation, the Sony has a slight edge. Its touchscreen made navigating content easier than with the Kindle's 5-way joystick is the availability of titles. The Kindle store has 270 titles and counting, far more than Sony's e-book store. And sellers cost $9.99, a few bucks less than Sony's usual price. But Sony allows access to 500,000 free public domain titles. The bottom line? The Kindle is easier to use and more versatile. The Sony, worth considering for its touchscreen and nightlight. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Sophisticated.
You seem to be somewhat of a two-fisted Democrat.
It's Ed Schultz.
You like to take the chaps on all the time. I admire that.
Can we make a promo that I'm a two-fisted Democrat?
Here's your promo, Big Eddie. The two-fisted Democrat, Ed Schultz.
And I'm going to give it to them both barrels when I know they're lying.
Mornings at 10 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
This is the Bill Press Show.
12 minutes before the top of the hour. This is the time of the show when I always, I realize we need 4 hours, at least 4 hours. I mean, there's too much to talk about and not enough time, right? I mean, I really wanted to get into this topic a lot earlier. The healthcare thing has just taken up so much time, rightfully so, because it's the most important issue, but I am fascinated by this Cash for Clunkers campaign. I'd love to hear from you if any of our listeners, I'm sure a lot of our listeners have taken advantage of this program. I think this is a great program. I really think this is a brilliant program to get to help pump this auto industry back up, and particularly to help auto dealers who've really been hurting. They're the front lines of this slump in the auto industry. So you know what it is. It's underway now, by the way. And I've heard and I've seen reports on the news that the dealerships are really crowded with people who are taking advantage of this. So I looked up this morning. Here are the rules, okay? If you got an old clunker, this is the time to turn it in. You can get up to $4,500 toward a new car purchase, okay? It's $3,500 or $4,500, somewhere in between there. The dealer decides based on, you know, whatever, what you're buying, partly. Now, here's some of the rules. So this expires November 1. You got to get in there. You got to get in there now because they could, you know, run out of dough or run out of cars between July 1 and November 1. You cannot trade in a motorcycle. It's got to be a car. You have to be able to drive your car, your clunker, to the dealer. That's that could be an issue.
Right? All right, so far I'm still in the running.
So far you're still in the running. The new car you purchase cannot have a tag of over $45,000. So, you know, we're not going in and buying a, you know, their Mercedes sports car or
right.
whatever, right? You're getting a good car, but a good American car. You cannot trade in, you can't trade in two clunkers for one car. It's got to be, you can't, okay. And on the mileage, the combined city or county mileage, I mean city and highway, has to be 18 miles per gallon or less. Right?
Okay.
So, right? So you could, now the thing of it is, this you could go in and buy an SUV, which may kind of defeat the purpose of it, right? But let's hope that people would go in and buy a car that has good mileage on it. And your trade-in cannot be more than 25 years old, period, okay?
If you got a car that's over 25 years old that still runs, you've got a classic vintage automobile.
Say, in that case, what you ought to do is sell it to some collector.
Right.
But I think this is a great, great idea, and I'd love to know more about it and how it's going. You know, maybe over the weekend I'll just go out to a couple of dealers and check it out. Now, Peter, you have any friends who've taken advantage of this?
I don't, no. I just started seeing the ads that have been running on TV for the local dealerships and say they've got the cash for clunkers thing going on. But, you know, I don't know anybody that's used it.
But, you know, what's nice about it is that it's a government program. I mean, it's a government program that makes sense. And, you know, I hope that if they do get a really good response, I hope they're open to keeping this thing going, because I think it's a sweet deal. Basically, you get that old, you know, car that's getting like zero mileage right now or very little, and you can turn it in. You can get $4,500 for it. That's more than you could get Blue Book, and put it toward a new car. And let's go to POJ in Portland, Oregon. Here's Audrey calling. Hi, Audrey.
Hey, Bill, I traded in my 1994 minivan with 165,000 miles on it, Blue Book, $400, and I got $4,500 off a new Scion.
Is that right?
And yeah. I am so excited. Yes, it works.
I mean, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Who would think that they'd give you $4,500 for that old clunker, right?
Well, they did.
Yeah, what's the mileage on the Scion?
Oh, it's brand new. You have to get a brand
new. I'm sorry. What's the miles?
I'm getting a 29, 28 around the city. So it's over 30 on the road.
There you go.
30 combined.
You know, that's a win-win. Good for you. Good for you, Audrey. I've got to say, I think it's a great program. We'll talk more about it and get more calls on it and get your reaction to it, too. I'll be back with today's parting shot.
The official morning show of the Obama generation.
The Bill Press Show.
You're listening to AM 760, Colorado's progressive talk. AM760.net.
Mom, I need your help with math.
How can I help?
I just don't get it.
Well, let me see. Huh, I don't remember how to do these either.
I'll never pass.
Sound familiar? Test pressures and fear of failing grades haunt many students. As a parent, you want to help, but you're at a loss when it comes to today's math. How can you help your child without spending on pricey learning centers or expensive private tutors? Now there's a proven solution with a Math Made Easy tutorial system designed to improve test scores and get rid of those math test anxieties forever. Summer is the perfect time to strengthen students' math skills and give them a head start on next year's math. top-notch teachers will coach your child in how to break down math problems into the five essential steps, which will enable your child to master math in almost no time. Best of all, Math Made Easy is affordable for nearly everyone. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call us now to get your free trial. Call 866-507-MATH. That's 866-507-MATH.
The United States has been the one that has been falling behind consistently on many things.
From Consumer Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Reese Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m., or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf, tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or to 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis, you'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning or late, like after 9 at night. Movies, matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants. Even some high-end places now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
To raise money for at-risk youth by racing us in go-karts at 60 miles an hour. Get details and your tickets at keepingkidsontrack.org. That's keepingkidsontrack.org. Go Broncos!
Hi, I'm Cheryl Crow, cancer survivor. If you want to know where the leading cancer research is being done, check out City of Hope Cancer Center. New drugs, new treatments that are saving lives everywhere.
For information, go to cityofhope.org/deliverhope.
The Parting Shot with Bill Press. This is the Bill Press Show.
And on this Wednesday, July 29, my parting shot for today, one thing for sure about White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs, I've learned. He's a hard guy to pin down. I tried again yesterday on the public plan option. You remember the day before, Gibbs said the president had no preference between the public plan option, which he once championed, and the creation of voluntary state co-ops pushed by Senate Republicans and some Democrats. Now that clearly is a big change of direction. So at yesterday's briefing, I pursued it. I asked Gibbs directly, does the president still support a public plan option, yes or no? And all he would say is, the president wants to see more choice and more competition in health insurance. In other words, no, the public plan option may not be off the table, but it is clearly no longer the president's top priority, and he's ready to throw it away in order to get a few Republican votes. And that, my friends, is more than a big disappointment. It's a big betrayal because it leaves the insurance companies totally in charge of health care. You know, President Obama knows better than that. Without a government-run, Medicare-like public plan option on the national level, it is better to have no health care reform bill at all. That's my parting shot for today. Coming up in the next couple of days, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis, Congressman Dennis Kucinich on the single payer, and Majority Leader Steny Hoyer. How about that lineup? That's worth coming back for tomorrow.
This is the Bill Press Show.
Fairy residents, this is Tooth speaking. I'm sorry, did you say credit? Credit Fairy? Perhaps you have the wrong number. Actually, no, I'm not familiar with the Credit Fairy, and I know all the fairies. We're a tight-knit bunch. Why don't you tell me more about what the Credit Fairy does? Maybe it'll ring a bell. The Credit Fairy magically raises your credit score so you'll be more likely to receive better interest rates? I'm pretty sure there's not a Credit Fairy. But I do know you can improve your credit rating by paying bills on time and keeping your credit card balances low. Glad I could help. Me? Well, I leave money under children's pillows. Adults? No, kids only. But I do know a good dentist.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. The investigation into Michael Jackson's death is spreading. The primary target is believed to be Dr. Conrad Murray, the live-in physician who reportedly gave Jackson a powerful sedative. But TMZ.com's Harvey Levin tells the CBS News Early Show as many as 24 other doctors who treated Jackson through the years could come under scrutiny.
The LAPD and the coroner's office has quietly been going to other doctors. Subpoenas have been served, and this is going to open up a massive investigation into what authorities believe could be gross, fraudulent prescribing practices.
Reports say Jackson used a host of aliases to get prescription drugs. The Pacific Northwest is having a heat wave.
Could be the worst heat wave we've seen in about 20 years.
Mercury could hit 105 today in Portland, Oregon, 100 in the Seattle area, where Jack Echtler went to a senior citizen center yesterday to cool off.
It was extremely hot in my house. We don't have any air conditioning. And my wife won't let me open the window because it's too hot outside.
If you're pregnant, you don't want to get the swine flu.
Pregnant women who get swine flu are at least 4 times more likely to be hospitalized than others with the virus, and health officials say they should seek medical attention immediately. Denise Jamison, medical officer with the CDC, says pregnant women aren't more susceptible to the virus.
But once they become sick with influenza, they're more likely to have severe disease and more likely to die.
The CDC says women suspected of having swine flu should be given Tamiflu even before tests confirm the diagnosis. Sabrina Gibbons for CBS News, Atlanta.
On Capitol Hill, Senate health care negotiators have agreed to trim Medicare spending by $35 billion. CBS's Peter Mayer tells us President Obama is on a health care reform sales trip.
Call it the Obama Health Reform Reassurance Tour. The president will answer critics as he travels to North Carolina and Virginia today. He will say that any plan that he signs must include more security and stability for Americans. Among other things, he will say that there will be no discrimination for people with pre-existing medical conditions.
Breaking news from Silicon Valley, Microsoft and Yahoo have agreed to form an Internet search partnership. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer.
This deal is a win-win for Microsoft and for Yahoo. It creates the resources and scale to compete effectively in search and drive new innovation.
The search for scores of Haitian boat people missing off the Turks and Caicos Islands is going into a third day. Coast Guard Petty Officer Jennifer Johnson admits the chances of finding any more survivors are slim.
You really need to look at the time that these people have possibly been in the water, because as time goes by, the chances of survival, regardless of the water tempers, are certainly dwindle.
118 boat people were rescued. 15 are known dead. The boat capsized when it struck a reef. Weak demand for new cars and commercial aircraft get the blame for a 2.5% dip in orders for durable goods, the sharpest drop in 5 months. Just ahead of the bell on Wall Street, S&P futures are down 7 points. This is CBS News.
Announcing the Ally Bank online savings account with a great interest rate of 1.85% APY. If you're waiting for the terms and conditions, forget about it. It really is that straightforward. Nothing confusing, hazy, ambiguous, dubious, or dodgy. No double dealing, double speak, or double meanings. Just an online savings account that offers a rate that's among the most competitive in the country. So call Ally at 877-247-ALLY or go to allybank.com. Ally. Straightforward. Member FDIC.
Being Ready, a true story from Farmers Insurance. Ricky, a farmer's client.
I'm a fireman. I'm gone 2 to 4 weeks at a time.
Maureen Martinez, a farmer's agent.
We had a discussion about what he wanted to protect that helps me to build a comprehensive insurance package.
Being prepared is the number one thing you need to do.
Are you this ready? Get to know a farmer's agent today. For auto, home, business, or life insurance, visit farmers.com, because ready feels good.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A rally against President Obama's health care plan yesterday at the state capitol, and today opposing groups will rally in Old Town Fort Collins. The groups are each trying to influence Congresswoman Betsy Markey. The Coloradoan reports Markey opposed a tax on high-income earners to fund health care reform, feeling that would hurt small businesses. State Senator Josh Penry has ordered his five staffers to take a total of 40 unpaid days leave to help out with the state budget crisis. Penry says he also plans to take a pay cut. A group of Democratic senators is proposing to withhold federal highway funds from states that don't outlaw texting while driving. Texting while driving will become illegal in Colorado this December with a fine of $50 for the first offense and $100 for the second. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where an accident northbound I-25 north of Santa Fe is really causing some delays as you're trying to make your way downtown from the tech center. That ride's going to cost you about 30 minutes right now. So slowing stretches all the way back towards DU. No problems as you're heading south through that stretch. Southbound I-25, also a crowded ride coming up on 84th. We'd had some earlier construction there. It took a while to get that filtered off. Southbounders, or northbounders rather, on 225, dragging a bit, just making that Parker curve up towards Mississippi. A little bit sluggish across Aurora. Same deal for eastbounders on 6th Avenue, Federal to I-25, where speeds are going to be in the 30s and 40s. We're still seeing some rainfall along I-70 in the Georgetown and Idaho Springs area. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise with a high near 72. We've got a chance of seeing some afternoon showers. Currently, it is hazy around Denver and 61 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760. Progressive Talk.
See your local Saab dealer and test drive Saab 9-3 sedans, sport combi, or convertible. Now is the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a Saab. Turbocharge your summer and take advantage of attractive finance offers on the 9-3 family.
Announcing double cash for your old car at your Dodge, Chrysler, and Jeep dealer. Turn in your old car and get up to $4,500 government credit toward one of our new, more fuel-efficient...
Ladies and gentlemen.
Presenting the one, the only...
Entertaining... 30 Rock is leading the way at this year's Emmys. The Tina Fey comedy, which is set behind the scenes of a fictional TV show, has been nominated for a whopping 22 awards, beating off competition from shows including The Office, Family Guy, Mad Men, and Flight of the Conchords. The ceremony will take place in L.A. on September 20th. Ladies and gentlemen.
Presenting the one, the only.
Entertaining. Once upon a time, there was this kid who had a body hair problem, discovered he was a werewolf, and that he had some pretty cool basketball skills. Yep, it's 1985, and Teen Wolf is the movie sensation of the year. Wish you could go back and do it all over again? You can't. Warner Brothers Pictures reportedly have begun the development of a Teen Wolf remake.
Before, and they tell you which juror numbers have to report. So, don't just go report. Make sure to check the day before. I did, and I don't have to serve. So, that's pretty sweet. That's why I'm here today. All right, there's a ton of news, local and national, so let's get right to it.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
All right, we'll start out where we were yesterday on the on national news. First and foremost, up in the New York Times, the fate of one of the youngest detainees at the Guantanamo Bay prison is emerging as a major test of whether the courts or the president has the final authority over when prisoners there are released. After a federal judge said earlier this month that the government's case for holding the detainee was riddled with holes, the Obama administration conceded defeat and agreed that the detainee would no longer be considered a military detainee. But the administration said it would hold him at the prison in Cuba for possible prosecution in the United States. So the president now asserting his ability, his right, or his theoretical right, to hold detainees at his own discretion. Pretty scary stuff, if you ask me. I'm not saying the detainees... Some of these detainees aren't scary people, too. But, I don't know. Call me having an old world sensibility from a family that, and from a you know, from ancestors who had to flee czars and that kind of thing. And you get nervous when presidents start asserting their right to detain people as they see fit. In Supreme Court news, President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, moved closer to taking her seat on the Supreme Court as the Senate Judiciary Committee overwhelmingly approved her nomination and sent it on to the full Senate. That's good news, but it's not really news in the sense that this was basically expected. In an important victory for the White House, a congressional committee approved legislation on Tuesday that closely resembled an Obama administration proposal seeking to impose new restraints on executive pay. The devil, of course, is in the details. This doesn't actually limit executive pay. What it does is it mandates that shareholders be given the right to conduct a vote on executive pay packages. Of course, when you keep reading down in the story, they're only given the right to a non-binding vote for executive pay packages, and only at large companies, not at smaller companies, which is strange because if you're the owner of a company, which is what a shareholder is, don't you think you should have a right to a binding vote at any company? I mean, if you're the owner, shouldn't you get to choose what your employees get paid? Bipartisan health deal coming. That's according to the Washington Post. An emerging consensus among a bipartisan group of senators is poised to shift the dynamic in the congressional debate over health care reform. And here's the key part. This is according to the Washington Post. And this could lead to a final product that sheds many of the priorities that President Obama has emphasized and that have drawn Republican attacks. So here you have news that a 60-vote Senate is about to shed all of the major priorities of the Democrats and the president campaigned on health care. A 60-vote Democratic Senate about to shed the Democratic Party's supposed priorities. It's pretty, pretty bleak right now. Wall Street Journal reports that congressional progressives are specifically fearing losing the public plan option. Liberals who see the effort to overhaul health care as a once-in-a-generation opportunity are growing anxious that a final deal and a Democratic president they backed will negotiate away their top priority, the public plan, to compete with private insurers. Some Democrats are threatening to oppose any bill that excludes this option. According to Senator Bernie Sanders, my old boss of Vermont, the White House's message is we support a public plan, but we may not support a public plan. If that's not a mixed message, you tell me what is. States, according to the Associated Press, would be required to ban driving while texting or face the loss of highway funds under legislation being pushed by a group of Democratic senators. It's probably a good idea. A new study out shows that texting while driving significantly increases the possibility of accidents. Obvious reasons. Yeah, I mean, it's obvious why that is. U.S. House Democratic leaders struggling to reach the accord on health care say they're likely to miss President Obama's August deadline for legislation overhauling the health care system. Local news. A lot of local news today. Denver Post story about how the country, many experts in the country, lawmakers, experts, scholars, are looking at health care reforms, specifically in Grand Junction, trying to understand how and why doctors and hospitals in Grand Junction are able to deliver some of the cheapest and best care in the country. We're going to try to get, this is a story in the Denver Post, we're going to try to get one of the experts who work in the Grand Junction healthcare system on the show in the coming days to discuss what they have been doing. Denver Post reports Governor Ritter vows deep but surgical cuts to Colorado agencies. Ritter said Tuesday that heavy cuts will fall on state agencies in September. Ritter made his remarks Tuesday evening at a special budget briefing for Democratic lawmakers at the governor's residence. the state is facing a $384 million shortfall in the fiscal year that began this month. So do you still think it was a good idea to give away those tens of millions of dollars to build NASCAR racetracks? Going to probably cut into health care here, cut into education. And we're going to get to education in a second because you're not going to believe, or maybe you will believe what the Census Bureau is reporting. It's going to be our story of the first hour, so hang on a sec. In business news, in the years leading to its collapse, the Denver Post reports New Frontier Bank financed about $9.6 million in business loans for a former director who later was convicted of felony theft for a mortgage scheme. So New Frontier Bank up in Greeley, which has led to a lot of angst up in that community, the failure of that bank, was giving away some pretty shady business loans. Fort Collins, Colorado reports that the lunch crowd in Old Town Fort Collins will get to see democracy in action today as opposing groups have rallies on the health care reform issue. The two groups are united by a common purpose to pressure Congresswoman Betsy Markey's vote on health care reform. Markey's trying to take a non-committal position. There are such strong feelings on all sides of this debate, and for good reason. She signed, by the way, that letter from Jared Polis. She was one of the members of Congress signing that letter from Jared Polis opposing a surtax on millionaires to pay for this. For your information, the rally, the Organizing for America rally, that's the Organizing for America is the group that grew out of the Obama campaign. They will have a rally in support of the public option from noon to 1 in Old Town. The rally will organize at 11:30 a.m. on the northwest corner of College and Mulberry. Supporters will be stationed at intersections along College from Mulberry to LaPorte. So you can find more information about that on the Fort Collins, Colorado website. State Senator Josh Penry, the candidate for governor, plans to take a pay cut and has ordered his 5 staff members to take a total of 40 unpaid days off as state officials try to bridge that nearly $400 million gap in the state budget. So here you see Penry starting to angle against Ritter by taking, looks like really symbolic action, but, you know, everyone's going to have to tighten the belt. So good for Penry. 9 News reports that Cash for Clunkers program is resulting in increased sales of cars. Cash for Clunkers is the federal program where you can turn in your older car and get basically a subsidy or a credit to buy a new, more fuel-efficient car. We're going to try to get somebody on from the local car industry here to talk about how you can trade in your cars. So we'll work on that in the next couple days, but it is boosting sales of cars. And our final story of the news update, Census Bureau data out reports that Colorado ranks among the stingiest states in the nation in how much it spends to educate its children. The report by the U.S. Census Bureau found the state ranks 40th in spending per pupil in 2007. Colorado fared even worse in how much of its personal income goes towards public education. It spent the second lowest amount per $1,000 of income, ahead of only Florida. So basically what that means is the amount of income individuals are reporting versus the amount of money that the state spends on education is the 49th out of 50th lowest. Now, that to me suggests we got a real problem in this state about understanding the concept of the common good. And obviously we've been talking about taxes over the last couple days. And should millionaires pay taxes? And you hear there is a very vocal group of people in this state who I think disproportionately impact the politics of this state to a point where it's a me, me, me culture. We in Colorado, unfortunately, I mean, this is just the data here. We really do have, and it's unfortunate, and it's lamentable, and we got to change it. There is a serious me, 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 me problem here in this state. When you are the 49th out of 50th, I mean, we're talking about below some of the poorest states in the country, like Montana, like Mississippi, like New Mexico, right? We are devoting as a community the 49th out of 50th lowest amount of our total income to education. And it goes all the way back to the Taxpayer Bill of Rights and the right-wing leadership in this state that has passed all sorts of policies that seem to prioritize the me over the common good. And so when you wonder why your school isn't doing well, when you wonder why your roads aren't paved well, when you wonder why all sorts of other public things that we take for granted aren't doing all that well, it's exactly this kind of statistic and this kind of report that tells you why. And so the open question of the first hour, because the Denver Post has an editorial today saying, well, it's not all about the money. And when we talk about education, you hear that a lot. The idea that, well, the education system, you can't just throw money at the problem. So when you think about education here in Colorado, K through 12 education, or even higher education, although this is about K through 12 education, do you think the problem in Colorado is that we're not funding our schools enough? Does this report confirm to you that a major part of the problem in Colorado's education system is that we're not spending enough? Or do you think that's a canard? Do you think it's education, quote-unquote, reform, how we deliver education, not how much we're spending? The Denver Post does make a good point. One of the poorest performing education systems in the country, the Washington, D.C. schools, has a very, very high per-pupil rate of spending. And the Post basically says that that should show that per-pupil spending doesn't really impact education, and it's a red herring, that we should ignore this report. What do you think? Do you think we need to spend more on education? Are you willing to pay higher taxes to fund a better education system? Or are you happy with what we have? 303-713-7600. We've got open phones right now. 303-713-7600. This is the question, especially, by the way, now that we've got a $400 million budget gap. All of these questions are going to come to the front now. Where do we cut? And you better believe that education might be right on that chopping block, even in the face of this report. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 721, we're talking about education funding and the state budget crisis. 303-713-7600. But first, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Good morning, Dave. Traffic is really starting to bunch up for us on the freeway systems around Denver and Boulder. Pretty normal jam southbound 25 up in Northland and Thornton, also near downtown. Northbound I-25 is going to be a bear as well this morning. Evans all the way up to Santa Fe, where we have an accident on the northbound side there, and it has caused these single-digit and speeds in the teens as well, all the way back there once you're getting out of the tech center. Also got a surface street accident, Spear and Colfax in Golden. Highway 58 closed for construction between Highway 93 and McIntyre Street. Also got this delays of up to an hour on I-70 near Vail. They have some construction going on both directions, so do expect some delays up in the Vail area. Also some rain pouring on I-70 near Georgetown and Idaho Springs. Forecast, patchy fog will turn to mostly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Another chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 o'clock. Right now, 60 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses?
Hi, this is John Elway. When it comes to vision correction, Icon LASIK has the most experience in Colorado. Icon uses the latest laser technology, including bladeless LASIK, at affordable prices starting at $499 per eye. All reasons why I selected Icon LASIK. You should, too. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through.
I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
Hi, this is Sally Field. I always thought calcium and vitamin D and exercise would keep my bones healthy, but I got osteoporosis anyway. So my doctor started me on once monthly Boniva, and he told me something important. Boniva works with your body to help stop and reverse bone loss.
Boniva Ibandronate Sodium is a 150 milligram prescription tablet for postmenopausal osteoporosis, CRAD, and Weight Watchers. Don't take Boniva if you have low blood calcium, severe kidney disease, or can't sit or stand for at least 1 hour. Follow dosing instructions carefully. Stop taking Boniva and tell your doctor if you have difficult or painful swallowing, chest pain, or severe or continuing heartburn, as these may be signs of serious upper digestive problems. If jaw problems or severe bone, joint, and or muscle pain develop, tell your doctor.
I've got this one body and this one life, so I'm doing my best to build strong, healthy bones. Ask your doctor if Boniva is right for you.
Boniva, help stop and reverse bone loss. For a free trial offer, call 1-800-4-BONIVA or visit boniva.com.
Hi, it's Marty. When I recently visited Lauer's Hardwood Showroom, and I love Beetlekill wood products. The all-natural lodgepole pine, environmentally neutral, and can be stained or left au naturel with its distinctive blue-hued beauty marks. Lauer's Hardwoods has Beetlekill flooring, paneling, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, price perfect, and environmentally neutral. Visit Lauer's in Lakewood and say Mario sent you and get 10% off. Call them at 303-205-WOOD or Lauer's Hardwoods.
Colorado's Progressive Talk.
We don't need no education.
How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? That's my question. I've always wondered that. How can you have any pudding if you don't eat your meat? 726 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Talking about education, 303-713-7600 is the number. Big report out today saying that Colorado is among, funds its education system at among the lowest levels in the entire nation. Census Bureau data found that the state ranks 40th in spending per pupil on K-12 education. Colorado fares even worse in how much of its personal income goes towards public education. It spent the second lowest amount per $1,000 of personal income. In Colorado, $34 of every $1,000 in personal income went to K-12 grade education. Only Florida was lower. So much poorer states than us are spending more of their personal income on public education, one of the foundational common goods in a society, public education. You got roads, you got infrastructure, you should have health care and public education. The Denver Post says, you know, school funding isn't everything. Right? The typical wet blanket Denver Post editorial. Oh, school, you know, terrible numbers come out. Denver Post, oh, nothing to worry about here as long as our taxes are low. What kind of an economy can you build if your public education system is so poorly funded? I mean, I'm not one of these people who thinks that public education is the only thing that builds your economy. That argument tends to be, I think, a red herring unto itself. You hear a lot of right-wingers say, oh, you know, we don't need to change our trade policies. We don't need to invest in America. We just need a better public education system to educate everybody. That's kind of a canard because everybody in America be a PhD. And if you got the same trade policies that incentivize job outsourcing, you'll just have a lot of unemployed PhDs. So it's not all public education, but you got to ask the question. If you're so poorly ranked in funding your education system, are you going to be able to compete for higher tech, higher information jobs with other states? What do you think? 303-713-7600. The Denver Post says, you know, it's not about funding. You got to look at performance. We shouldn't just, quote unquote, throw money at the problem. And so the open question of the first hour is, Does this new report concern you, or do you think that we should try to reform the way education is delivered and not focus only on the budget numbers? That is the question here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to Shirley in Thornton. Shirley, you're on AM 760.
Hi. There needs to be reform. I think there's so much waste at the top. I don't think our teachers make enough money. I don't think we have teachers. These people are in charge of your children for almost 8 hours a day. They need to make more money. They need to care. But people are so selfish. Every time we vote on something in our district, in our county, for more money, for more funding for schools, it always gets defeated every single time. And it's not even, it's like pennies on the dollar. But they're just like, I'm not paying more taxes. And then they complain because the kids are uneducated. It's like,
So you agree that you think the me culture, you think Colorado, we're plagued by a me culture. I mean, this is where I am as well. I've lived in a lot of states, right? I've lived in Montana, I've lived in Colorado, I've lived in Illinois, I lived in Pennsylvania. And I think I can put this out there and say I have not lived in a state where the me culture has been so intense. Now that doesn't mean everybody's in the me culture. But
the majority, unfortunately.
I don't know if I can say it's the majority, but what I can say is this, that if you look at the parameters of the political debate in this state, what we accept as assumptions and what we say is out of the mainstream, how we frame what we do in politics and in public policy here, this is a state that is dominated by the me culture in our politics.
So what do we do to change anything? I mean, this is what I'm aggravated. We voted for change in November. We're not getting any change. They're going to give up the public option. We didn't get any change here in Colorado. We've gotten nothing. In fact, it's gotten worse for my husband and I. Things have gotten so much worse. It's like everything they've passed, they've watered down. They're so afraid of the wealthy people. I mean, I don't even know what to do anymore. My husband and I are talking about, like, let's look into moving out of the country because it's the United Corporations of America.
Well, I don't think that we're not getting change in the sense that, look, we're having a debate about health care, for instance. I mean, 6 months ago, you couldn't even talk about health care. I mean, it was completely... Yep.
You don't want to be up for the insurance companies. They're going to give them the mandate, they're going to get 45 million new customers.
That's the fear. That is the fear. But the process is not over. I mean, the process is not over. You can't give up before the battle is over, right?
You know what? I'm just so tired. I'm so tired.
I know. That's what movements do. I mean, movements and times of political tumult, they're exhausting. They're tiring, and the forces of the status quo are relying on us to basically all be worn down. Now I don't think that it's over. I don't think the healthcare debate's over. I don't think the tax debate, frankly, is ever over. And I think we have a day of reckoning coming to this state and to our country in general about how we make tax and spending decisions. You can't keep throwing trillions of dollars at Wall Street. You can't keep throwing tens of millions of dollars at NASCAR racetracks here in the state and also watch your public education system get gutted and also watch your healthcare system continue to spiral out of control at the national level. We have a day of reckoning coming. Now, the question is whether the day of reckoning means we go further into the me culture, whether we dig in and say me, whether the crisis makes us all try to hoard whatever we can get our hands onto, or whether we can actually come together and solve some of these problems together. Now, it seems to me our greatest days, right? The greatest days that we've had as a country, the things that we look to as successes were the things that came out of a time of crisis where we all came together, right? I mean, what's amazing to me is like when I travel around the country, all of the things that we still rely on, that are just so basic to our society are things that, a lot of them were created 40, 50 years ago, right? I mean, a lot of people rely on Medicare. A lot of people rely on Social Security, right? A lot of people, I was in New York a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people rely on the subway system there, right? The bridges, the subway system, right? That was built back in the New Deal. We have trouble getting a light rail. I mean, it's a major, huge, giant fight to build a light rail, a small light rail system in Denver, right? This is how far the political debate has moved, that it's really, really impossible to come together even on the most basic necessities of a civilized society. And education is clearly one of them, especially in this state. So can we get past the me culture? That is the question. And I know it's exhausting, but I don't know. We really have no choice, right? If you give up, you know, we're screwed.
Hey, man, it's like the caller said yesterday. We don't need the government for anything. Come on.
Right. That is the attitude.
We don't need them for anything.
That's the attitude. Right. And what I say is, you know, okay, we don't need the government for anything. You know, I guess you don't use roads. You don't use schools. You know, you don't rely on the government's regulations to make sure that the air is clean. You don't rely on the government to regulate the cleanliness or the purity of your drinking water. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And people who say that the me culture is what should run our society and that we don't need government for anything, you people out there, you're idiots. I mean, you really are. You really are not smart.
We should leave education up to the churches, Dave.
I mean,
not.
Actually, you know, here's a good idea. Here's maybe a causative situation. Maybe because we've not been funding our education system, maybe that's why people think we don't need the government. I mean, because you got to be a stupid person to think that we don't need to fund our government at some basic level.
Right. And I'm trying to think of the measure that got voted down last year, Dave. It was one of the, not amendments, but it was, oh God, what was it?
Tabor from being implemented? Was it Referendum C?
Not Referendum C. It was like one of the 1As or AB or, I'm trying to think of what, it was the education one, and it got shot down. It was funding for schools. And it was one of those ones that got shot down.
Yeah, well, and the Denver Post makes the point that we've shot down a number of initiatives that would better fund our schools, better fund our infrastructure.
I'll figure out this
break. Amendment 23, back in 2000, did mandate some baseline level of education funding, but clearly, it's not enough. Hey, Shirley, thanks for the call. Give us a call again. 736 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We're talking about education. We got a couple open lines, 303-713-7600. New report says that Colorado ranks among the lowest in terms of per capita funding for its public education system, 49th out of 50th in terms of what percentage of our individual income we put towards education, lower than some of the poorest states in the country, lower than Mississippi, lower than Alabama, lower than Montana, lower than Kentucky. You think that's okay? Denver Post says, hey, we shouldn't worry about how much we finance education. It's not about how much money you put into the system. It has nothing to do with it, basically. I mean, they make a good point that some education systems are funded better than Colorado, but have worse performance, educational performance.
Dave, one was Amendment 59, which I believe got shot down. It was increased funding for K-12 schools.
That's right.
And it had
I mean, it's one of many of those initiatives that we have shot down. And so the open question is, do you buy the Denver Post's argument that it's not really about funding? We shouldn't worry about how much or how little we're funding education. That's not really a factor in how well our education system does. Or do you think we got a serious problem? If we are not funding our education system, if we are 49th out of 50th in the percentage of our income we're putting towards our education system, we are putting ourselves at a competitive disadvantage economically. And even more importantly, we are handicapping our own kids, our next generation. What do you think? 303-713-7600. All right, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, we got a couple accidents on northbound I-25. First, you're going to hit one near Yale. It's on the right-hand shoulder. Backups around Bellevue. Then more jams. Evans all the way to Santa Fe. Stop-and-go conditions there due to a crash on the northbound side just after Santa Fe. Also got debris on the road. Spilled load, Stacy, eastbound 270 at Vasquez. An accident investigation going on at the ramp from northbound I-25 to westbound I-70. And another surface street crash, Spear and Colfax. That one has been pulled into a parking lot, so out of the way now. But pretty standard-looking drive. We do have a few accidents out there, so do be careful. As speeds are kind of increasing this morning, we do hope this fog lifts soon. Your forecast, mostly cloudy. Good chance for thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs will be in the lower 70s. Right now, 61 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Don't get ripped off when you sell your gold. Get 40% more every day at Fast Cash Gold Centers. At Fast Cash, they shop the competition and pay you 40% more for your gold. Call for an instant quote before you sell or visit FastCashGoldCenters.com.
They want all the parts in place because we're Democrats. It's what we do. We get it right. We don't just do stuff. We do it right.
La, 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 la. Yeah, I know. The last thing you want to hear is another bailout. But you better listen hard to this one. Congress has decided that the music industry might need one. They're calling it a performance tax. What the? Radio already pays to play music, okay? If they pay more, it means you'll lose. Traffic reports, weather, new music. Go to SaveYourRadio.org and tell your congressman to support the Local Radio Freedom Act. Message from this station and the NAB.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Looking for a smart buy-in and new best-in-class automobile? Then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverMalibu.com or MalibuDenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
Consumer Reports, Questions of Health. I'm Ernie Sprantz. You're wondering, does grape juice have some of the same health benefits as red wine? Probably, though red wine may offer extra protection. Both are high in flavonoids, plant compounds that may protect the heart by inhibiting blood clots and possibly increasing the level of good HDL cholesterol. But the alcohol in wine may provide an additional anti-clotting benefit. Of course, too much alcohol poses serious risks, and both beverages pack about 190 calories per cup, so drink them in moderation. Your doctor has suggested minimally invasive surgery for back pain. Is it worth trying? Only as a last resort. Such surgery uses smaller incisions than the standard operation, but nearly half of some 1,100 readers who underwent back surgery said recovery was longer and more painful than expected. And most back pain resolves on its own in about 6 weeks. When it doesn't, acupuncture, chiropractic care, or exercise often help. So consider surgery only if other options have failed. Your wife applies makeup daily. Is it dangerous for her to inhale the dust from facial powder? That's unclear. People exposed to very large amounts of those powders, such as workers in manufacturing plants, may be at higher risk of lung disease and certain cancers. But there's little research on the amount people breathe in while applying their makeup. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at ConsumerReports.org.
10 wildfires are caused by humans and can be prevented.
We'll all pitch in. If humans can do it, so can we.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Log on to SmokeyBear.com to find out what you can do. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
With welcome rewards from Hotels.com, you get a free night after accumulating 10 nights with any of their partner hotels.
Surely my boutique hotel is not included in that.
Yes, it is, lady.
My band, Sned Leplin, stays in chain hotels just off the freeway. Those included.
With Hotels.com, you bet, Mr. Brojangles.
What about a bed and breakfast?
Faux shizzle.
Hotels on the moon?
No.
Accumulate 10 nights, even at different hotels, and earn a free night. Welcome rewards from Hotels.com. Smart. So smart. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.
All
5:43 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Another cloudy, cool day going into the 70s. I'm David Sirota filling in here for Jay Marvin. We're talking about education. New study out from the Census Bureau says that we here in Colorado are among the worst funders of our own education system. We are 49th out of 50th in terms of the percentage of our total personal income that we put towards K through 12 education. What do you think about that? Do you think that this is one symptom of a me culture that has dominated and is dominating our state? Or do you think we shouldn't look at how much we fund our education system, that we can't just quote-unquote throw money at the problem and that money isn't the problem in our education system? Again, though, 49th out of 50th. We are lower than some of the poorest states in the country, lower than Mississippi, Alabama, Kentucky. What do you think? 303-713-7600. DJ in Denver. DJ, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, David.
Morning.
Hey, I kind of want to agree and disagree at the same time. I just want to tell you my story real quick. I was born in California. I lived in East L.A. until I was 11 years old. That put me basically in a really good, well-funded education system, but I could not read. I was passed through all my grades. I was never looked at. I was never talked to. I was never anything. I could not read. My parents then, you know, all the gangs and everything back then got really bad. So they moved us to Colorado, in the middle of nowhere, Cotopaxi, Colorado, K through 12, 200 kids. My teachers immediately recognized the fact that I could not read. I could not function on a day-to-day basis with everybody in my class. So I got all the special attention I needed, all the special everything that I could possibly ever ask for out of my education system. So I agree that in the long term, we absolutely, the more money, the better, because our people, we need to be more educated just in general as a populace. But I think that taking advantage of what money that we do have and making sure the people that need it really get the help that they need is really where it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's not an agree or disagree, because I don't think these issues are mutually exclusive. Just because we need serious education reform in how we educate children and all sorts of the ways that we create an education system, it also doesn't mean that there's not a problem of just straight up funding.
I would agree. The other point I wanted to make is I think we're going to see, and this is, of course, just my opinion, I think we're going to see a big change in the next 10 to 20 years in the way that we educate our kids just because of technology. I think we're going to get away from the whole pre-World War II German kindergarten through 12th grade education system. I think things are going to really change because the Internet, computers and technology, information transfer, all of that is going to make everything more available to everybody. And I think it's going to eventually become less expensive to the normal person to educate their child at home than it is going to be to have them educated at a school.
Well, whether or not that's true, I think we are going to see changes in the methods of educating children. I agree with that. And I think that probably needs to happen in many cases. But that's going to require... And I'm not saying you disagree, but that's going to require at least an initial investment. I mean, it's going to require at least an initial technological investment, an investment in training teachers. I mean, this is why, again, these are not mutually exclusive. I think the Denver Post, their editorial this morning, they have it wrong, which is the idea that, oh, don't look at the funding, you know, only look at the performance right now. And I think that's wrong because, you know, every year you fund education, you're making an investment. So if you underfund education for 5 years, you might not see the effects of that for another couple of years. Additionally, just because you need reform on the methods of how you're educating people, on the structure of your education system, doesn't mean you don't also need to provide basic adequate funding. And as the Denver Post reports today, we are below the national average. We are way below the national average in terms of how we are funding our education system. Hey, DJ, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Mary in Denver. Or is it Marie?
Yes. Hello, David.
Hi there.
I'm glad you're back.
Thanks.
And, I wanted to just make sure that people know that in Denver County, we have approved every measure in the last 5 years to fund education in Denver. We approved a mill levy increase in 2003.
Yes, and I should have mentioned that. And I think what's so interesting about this state is that Denver, on issues of taxes and on issues of funding our education system, has been a lot better. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Mayor Hickenlooper on a number of issues, but he has done a decent job of putting himself out there, campaigning for what I think are responsible tax policies, at times tax increases, to fund common goods like public education.
Exactly.
So I think Denver has really been the exception in the state.
I think, you know, I have some problems with the accountability on how that money is being used. For example, today in the Post it talked about schools have hired marketing directors, but, and I think I'm correct on this, we do not have summer school available for every child in Denver who needs it or wants it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there are some questions about accountability, but the voters of Denver have approved that was 2003 wasn't the only one. We did a sales tax for universal preschool education, and we just passed another mill levy, and we passed bonds to renovate the schools. It is an aging school, so, you know, the buildings are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a school right near my house that's undergoing a huge renovation.
Yeah,
and so you're right. I think Denver is it's different. Then its political climate is different than the whole state. I don't think that's such a great revelation. But I do think there is this tension in this state, and I don't think you're disagreeing with me, that there's this tension in the state between a lot of us who think, hey, we need to do a much better job of investing in public goods like education, common goods like education. And there is another very, very adamant, very, very vocal group of basically the teabag crowd that is me. And that is the big battle, I think, in this state on education, on healthcare, and I think it's the big battle nationally. That's what you're seeing the Republicans now on healthcare. It's all about me. And the question is, how are we going to get past that? I think on education, when you see a report like this, this is what drives me crazy. When you see a report like this, the Denver Post, for instance, as a leading opinion maker in the state, its first reaction should be, this is a problem. The first reaction shouldn't be, well, you know, don't really look at that, the funding. We've got to look over here. I mean, the first initial reaction to this, even if you accept the premise, which I do, that you need to reform your education system, that you need to make it more accountable. Even if you accept that premise, when you see a report like this from the Census Bureau, the first reaction, I think, has to be, this is a big problem.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
751 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. We are talking about the new census report showing that Colorado funds its education system at one of the lowest levels in the United States. What do you think about this report? Do you think we need to spend more on education? Or are you of the belief, hey, we can't throw money at the problem? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Dave, got a spilled load, so Stacey, you want to look out on basically on 270 eastbound side at Vasquez, causing backups all the way to 25. That's a mess there. Also got these really bad jams on 225. No accidents, but stop and go from I-70 all the way down to Alameda, and then again from Parker Road to I-25 there in the tech center. Couple crashes on I-25, both on the northbound side. One around Yale, another at Santa Fe. That one is being moved out of the way, and traffic is starting to improve a little bit there, but still kind of a bear out there. Also got some rain falling on I-70 near Georgetown and Idaho Springs, and hit-and-run accident on the ramp from northbound I-25 to westbound I-70. Looks like a car clipped one of those emissions testing vehicles. Your forecast, patchy fog will turn to mostly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Another chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, 62 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Pulte Mortgage is hosting a job fair for experienced mortgage professionals this Wednesday. Go to PulteJobFair.com to learn more. That's P-U-L-T-E, JobFair.com, or call 303-740-8800. Equal opportunity employer.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Are you embarrassed about your smile? You can do something about it. At Incredible Smiles, Dr.
I didn't become Magic Johnson overnight. I had to set goals and go for them. If your goal is getting the best for your family, Rent-A-Center puts it in easy reach. Choose from top-name brands like Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more with no credit checks, no credit needed. And Rent-A-Center backs it all with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Because sometimes we need a little assist with our goals.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Neutral. Say Mario sent you and get 10% off. 303-205-WOOD or LowersHardwoods.com.
7:54, now's the time we talk to Mike Spear of Presidential Brokerage. 303-694-1600. Again, 303-694-1600. We talk to him every day to get an update on what's going on in the market. All right, Mike, what do we got?
My Sirota. Well, we've got the market down a little bit today, David. We've seen a little bit of a pullback, as we should. In a healthy market, it can't go up forever, and I know it's not fun to see down days, but it really keeps it healthy, David. You know, a good forest fire once in a while brings the forest back stronger. So having said that, the Dow's down 50, NASDAQ's down 14 and 3 quarts, the S&P is down 7 and 3 quarts, the Russell is down almost 5 points. That's almost a percent on that. So we're seeing a bit of a pullback in small caps. You know, if you really want to be proactive with your investments and learn where the action is and where to stay away from, that's what we're probably best at, and that is moving money to areas of strength away from areas of weakness, and that's really what our jobs are, I think, and help you prepare for retirement or whatever it is you're hoping to save for. Give us a call to find out what we're doing. We'll share our thoughts and ideas with you, and I think it'll make great practical sense. 303-694-1600 is the number, is it not, David?
Again, that's the number, 303-694-1600. Mike Spear and his team at Presidential Brokerage. Give him a call today, 303-694-1600. Talk to you tomorrow, Mike.
All right, David, thank you.
What do you think when you think BMW? Performance, safety, luxury, craftsmanship, technology? I think performance and power. There is nothing like feeling the power, knowing I have it, the power when I need it. It makes me smile as I take the turns, climbs the hill and asks for more. Then I settle back in the leather seats, smell the luxury, feel the performance, enjoy the drive. I'm the driver, and I'm loving it. There is no automobile in the world that performs like a BMW, whether you're driving Colorado's back roads or the twists and turns of the mountains. Until you drive one, you can't imagine it. There isn't anything like a BMW, and there isn't a car dealership like Shump BMW anywhere in the world. Come visit us and experience the all-new 7 Series and the all-new Z4 models at the all-new Shump BMW, just north of C-470 at Lucy St. Boulevard. The power awaits you.
Hi, my name is Alan Matthews, owner of 3M Construction. Have recent storms damaged your roof, siding, or windows? Time to file your claim could be running out. Don't get scammed by out-of-town predators knocking on your door and sponging off our local economy. Call a local company that you've heard of. 3M Construction has the experience to give you a quality job and the knowledge to work with your insurance company to get your home repaired fast. Call us today, 303-774-8005. That's 303-774-8005. 3M Construction, a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
Hail damage, wind damage, roof damage. Have you had your roof inspected? Call Colorado Roofing for a free storm damage inspection. Call the local roofing company you know and trust. Beware the out-of-town roofer. Call Colorado Roofing. Go to coloradoroofing.com. That's coloradoroofing.com.
757 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We're talking about education funding. The new report saying that Colorado is among the states that are the lowest in terms of its funding of its public education system. What do you think about that? We'll hit one more caller. And if you're hanging on, I'm not getting to you right now. Just hang on through the national news. Danny, Mark, and Doug, just hang on. We'll go to Chrissy in Denver. You've been holding the longest. Chrissy, you're on AM 760.
Hey, thank you. It's an important program that you guys produce, and I have been glad to hear you. My opinion is we probably don't spend as much as we should, and it is a needy, me, society. But in the context of the article, perhaps it's being blown out of proportion. The data does not tell you, you know, what are those dollars in? Like, okay, it says so much more in New Jersey. Well, guess what? You know, it costs much more to live there, you know? Also,
Hold on a minute. It's percentage of income. So that equalizes for it. It's percentage of how much you make, percentage of your income going to education. So that equalizes for that question of cost of living expenses.
Of reported income?
Absolutely. No, I'm not massaging the stats. That's the data. Chrissy, thanks for the call. Sorry to cut it short. We got to get the national news. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Stick around. We'll get back to this topic after the national news.
Jay Marvin, and most of you know that I have been really, really sick. And coming October the 10th, I'm going to Philadelphia. Actually, it's Lynnwood, New Jersey, to have two operations to fix what's wrong with me. And I just want to thank everybody. I just want to thank all of you for all of your support, all the emails, all the letters. And I also really want to thank Rocky's Autos, 63rd and Federal. They have been just great to me. So I'm not going to tell you to go there and buy a car. I'm not going to get into any of that. I just want to take 60 seconds, sponsored by Rocky's, to thank you and to thank Rocky's. I really do love you, and thanks for all of your support. Rocky's Autos, 63rd and Federal.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Frank Sedapani. The government has some advice for expecting mothers. If you even suspect you have swine flu, get a prescription for Tamiflu. Denise Jameson with the Centers for Disease Control says it's a must for pregnant women.
Once they become sick with influenza, they're more likely to have severe disease and more likely to die.
CBS's Sabrina Gibbons tells us pregnant women could be near the front of the line for swine flu shots.
By the end of the day, we should know who will be recommended to get vaccinated against the H1N1 swine flu virus, the CDC's Tom Skinner.
We're probably going to see the committee come up with a series of recommendations.
Skinner says it's still not clear just how much vaccine might be available or when it will be available, but healthcare workers, children, and pregnant women would be among the first in line to get the vaccine.
We have breaking news from Capitol Hill. The Senate Sergeant at Arms says four summer interns who showed swine flu symptoms had to be quarantined. Two could be able to return to work today. On his way home from Iraq, Defense Secretary Gates said the sustained drop in violence there could lead to a stepped-up withdrawal of American forces.
There's at least some chance of a modest acceleration.
Gates says one combat unit of about 5,000 troops could come home early. A website report says as many as two dozen doctors could be put under the microscope in the Michael Jackson death investigation. TMZ.com says investigators want to know if they gave Jackson fraudulent prescriptions. CBS's Hattie Kaufman tells us police and federal agents who searched the home and office of Dr. Conrad Murray were after prescription records.
The warrants demanded records not only in Michael Jackson's names, but also listed 19 possible aliases he could have used to gain drugs, including Prince Jackson, the name of his son.
A North Carolina woman whose husband and sons have been called terrorists says it's just not so.
While wearing traditional Muslim clothing, Sabrina Boyd defended her 39-year-old husband and 22 and 20-year-old sons who are accused of international terrorism.
I know that my husband and my sons are free of guilt.
Federal authorities allege Daniel Boyd has traveled extensively in the Middle East to buy weapons and recruit people for, quote, violent jihad. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
On the business page, Microsoft and Yahoo will join forces in an Internet search partnership. CBS News and CNET technology analyst Larry Magid says the arrangement could take some business away from Google.
The two companies together don't even come close to having the reach that Google has in terms of search. But working together certainly is going to take some bite out of Google's search.
Orders for durable goods fell in June. Economist Peter Morici says sluggish demand for cars and planes masked strength in other areas.
The recession has a lot to do with weak demand for automobiles, aircraft. We're coming out of the recession. We shouldn't have much of a problem there.
In early Wall Street trading, the Dow Industrials are down 27 points. This is CBS News.
It's time to feel the jump from 24th to 3rd, all in one fell slingshot. Feel the Rainbow Warrior battling Junebug. Feel what it is to be rowdy and be happy.
Go, 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 go. You're clear. You're clear. Get up.
Feel what it's like to slam the rubber to the road and avoid getting burned at the turn.
Good move, buddy. Good move. Good move.
NASCAR on ESPN. Feel your heart rate. The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series at Pocono. Sunday at 1 Eastern on ESPN.
The Home Depot has some good news for contractors. The number one name in home improvement now carries the number one name in ladders, Werner. Preferred by pros more than any other brand of ladder. Now get an 8-foot aluminum step ladder or 16-foot aluminum extension ladder for the new lower price of just $63. Werner ladders are back at the Home Depot. Things are definitely looking up. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only, see store for details.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Thousands of letters proclaiming the check will be in the mail go out today to Coloradans struggling to find jobs. The letter lets over 10,000 unemployed for nearly a year in Colorado know they may be eligible for an additional 13 weeks of unemployment benefits. Many have already tried to get that money, but the system's been slow.
That's really unacceptable. When people are entitled to unemployment insurance, when we've expanded the base, expanded the ability for them to get that and for us not be to be able to deliver that in a timely manner.
Governor Ritter, jobless claims are up 300% over last year. State Senator Josh Penry has ordered his five staffers to take a total of 40 unpaid days leave to help out with the state budget crisis. Penry says he also plans to take a pay cut. The number of new oil and gas drilling permits issued in Colorado is dropping dramatically. State regulators say at the current pace, about 5,000 permits will be issued this year. That would be a 38% decline from last year. Sports, it's the Mets over the Rockies 4-0 last night. Game 3 of the 4-game series is tonight. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where it's a busy drive as you're making your way around Denver. We've got a crash northbound I-25 near Yale. Sounds like it's way off to the right shoulder, but as I check on those CDOT cameras, I can see some big-time delays on I-25 past DU. In fact, that drive either direction of I-25 is going to take you about 25 to 30 minutes as you're traveling between the tech center and downtown. There's a hit-and-run accident investigation on the ramp from northbound I-25 as you're trying to access westbound I-70. Westbound 76, crowded 88 to I-25. Speeds are going to dip into the 20s and 30s through that stretch. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. We've got a chance of seeing some afternoon showers. It's going to be a cloudy day, high of about 72 degrees. Currently, we're getting close. It's already 66. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Calling all athletes, NextCare Urgent Care is currently offering sports physicals for only $30. Call 1-800-NEXTCARE or visit NextCare.com for more information on NextCare's physicals and new allergy remedy, a painless and quick allergy test and treatment service. Multiple locations available. What next? NextCare.
Announcing double cash for your old car at your Dodge Chrysler and
Safe retirement question number 66. Want to know how to be 100% sure you won't outlive your money? Stop gambling with your retirement dollars. Tune into the It's Time to Cover Your Assets show Saturday afternoons at 12:30 right here on AM 760.
500 to 4,500 factory cash allowance when you turn in your old vehicle with combined new 18 MPG and purchase an eligible new vehicle. See your participating dealer for eligibility details or visit cars.gov. Chrysler, Jeep, and Dodge are registered trademarks of Chrysler Group, LLC.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
8:07 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. I'll be here all week. Tip your waiters and waitresses. A lot of news today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do an abbreviated news update for those of you joining us at the top of the hour, and then we'll get back to the phones. Brad, Danny, and Mark, hang on. We'll get back to the phones and talk about the big education story. But first, let's do an abbreviated news update.
Good evening. I'm Ron Burgundy, and this is what's happening in your world tonight.
All right, national news. The fate of the youngest detainees at the Guantanamo Bay prison is emerging as a major test now of whether the courts or the president has the final authority over when prisoners there are released. President Obama, essentially the Obama administration, asserting its right to detain folks at Guantanamo as they see fit. The court's saying, no, that's not true. So this standoff, legal standoff, is continuing. President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor, moved closer to taking her seat as the Senate Judiciary Committee overwhelmingly approved her nomination and sent it on to the full Senate yesterday. In an important victory for the White House, the Congressional Committee approves legislation yesterday that closely resembled an Obama administration proposal seeking to impose new restraints on executive pay. That sounds like great news, but the bill only mandates that shareholders should get a non-binding vote to affirm or express discontent with an executive pay package at the company that the shareholders own. So, pretty weak tea, if you ask me. Washington Post reports that senators are close to a quote-unquote bipartisan health accord. It could lead to a final product, however, the Washington Post says, that, quote, sheds many of the priorities that President Obama has emphasized and that have drawn Republican attacks, most prominently the bipartisan compromise that seems to be coming forth from the Senate is one that has no public option. Congressional progressives raising flags about that. What's fascinating about this is the public option would compete with private insurers. And the people who oppose the public option say they're primarily worried about the cost. Well, if you have more competition, doesn't that bring down cost? Jacob Hacker, the Yale professor, wrote a Washington Post op-ed making that very point, that if you strip out the public option, you're going to create a bill that costs far more because there will be less competition. AP reports states are now going to be, could be required, to ban driving while texting or face the loss of highway funds under legislation being pushed by a group of Democratic senators in Washington. House Democrats say they may miss President Obama's requested deadline for passing a health care bill before they go out to recess, a five-week vacation they're taking. And with 22,000 Americans dying every year, think about how many people will die because the House and the Senate will take a five-week vacation instead of finishing up health care reform. All right, local news. Denver Post reports that the nation is looking closely at Grand Junction's health care system. Grand Junction is one of the places in the country that has driven down costs the most and delivered some of the best care possible. So the nation is looking at Grand Junction. We're going to do our best to try to get somebody on to discuss what Grand Junction has done. But Colorado in the healthcare microscope now. Denver Post reports that Governor Ritter is vowing deep but surgical cuts to Colorado's agencies, with the state facing an almost $400 million shortfall. There's going to be a protest today up in Fort Collins over health care in front of, in Old Town. A protest aimed at pressuring Congresswoman Betsy Markey to vote for health care reform. Organizing for America is organizing the rally. It will be at 11:30 a.m. at the northwest corner of College and Mulberry, and supporters will be stationed at intersections along College from Mulberry to LaPorte. If you want information, if you're up in Fort Collins, go to the Fort Collins Coloradans website for more information. Cash for Clunkers, that trade in your older car and get some kind of credit, tax credit, or subsidy to buy a newer, more fuel-efficient car. That is driving up sales of cars a little bit here in Colorado. We're going to try to get on somebody in the next couple of days to explain how you may trade in your quote-unquote clunker. So stay tuned for that. And our final story, we're going to get back to our calls right now, is about this big story out of the Census Bureau. Colorado ranks among the stingiest states in the nation in how much it spends to educate its children. According to the Census Bureau report, we are the 40th in spending per pupil. Even worse, and more embarrassing, I think, we spent the second lowest amount per $1,000 of personal income on public education, ahead of only Florida. 49th out of 50th in how much we are willing to devote, what percentage we are willing to devote of our personal income to public education. That is your news update.
I'm Ron Burgundy. You stay classy, San Diego.
All right, so we'll get back to the phones here. The open question is, do you think that this is a problem, that we are not funding our education system properly, that we are far below the national average in how much we are funding our K through 12 education on a per-pupil basis, and that we are almost rock bottom in terms of the percentage of our income we're putting towards education? Or do you believe that, you know, we shouldn't throw money, quote-unquote, throw money at the problem, that we shouldn't look at stats about how much money we're spending, because how much we fund our education system has nothing to do with what our education system performs as? 303-713-7600. We've got open phones here. We've got a couple open lines. 303-713-7600. Let's go to Mark in Denver. Mark, you're on AM 760.
Morning, David.
Morning.
I have a couple points I'd like to make.
Sure.
Number one, I think that I would fall into the category that some of you on the left have referred to as teabaggers.
Okay.
In terms of my fiscal beliefs of what the U.S. should be doing. But I believe that education is the most important thing that our government does, period, out of everything. If you have an educated society, you're going to have a productive society.
Well, you don't sound like a teabagger to me.
Well, trust me, you and I have argued on other topics before. But,
okay.
I think that we should take example from what New Mexico does. They take their lottery winnings and pay all the way through higher education. I have a friend that is a dentist that had his complete education paid for because of the lottery out there. So instead of focusing all that lottery money on open spaces, maybe we take half of it, put it to a vote, take half of that money, and funnel it to education. The other things you need to do, though, is you have to have a voucher system to promote competition, which is same thing with healthcare. You want to promote competition. Drive down the prices where you're going to get a better product. If you have competition between the public schools who have nobody to account to, really, and you have private schools that are partially funded.
Well, remember, here in Denver, we do have something of a competitive system. You have some form of public school choice, so the public schools are competing with each other. I have a problem with vouchers in a different way. My problem is I'm uncomfortable with public money financing, subsidizing private education, in many cases religious private education. I just think that's not appropriate. I mean, we are a country that was based on the separation of church and state. We were founded on that belief. And I have a real problem with public money going to fund religious or parochial or any private school.
And my rebuttal to that would be, it's not the government's money, it's my money.
Well, but it's the public's money. No, it's not your money. It's not your money. It's the public's money. It's the public's money in a country where there is a separation between church and state. It is when we have a tax system, it becomes the state's money. My money, your money, John Turk's money, everybody's tax money goes into a pot that is not mine, yours, or John Turk's individually. And we have a country that was founded on the separation of church and state. That means that money should not be going to religious private institutions.
Are you saying that people that go to schools like Notre Dame should no longer receive public funding, public grants, public loans? Because Notre Dame's a religious school, and they're doing that right now.
Well, what I'm saying is this. What I'm saying is that the money that in most school voucher programs would go directly to the school. What we do through our college education system is, and maybe you see it only as a semantical difference, but I think it is a big difference. With our college scholarships, we provide scholarships to the individual. The scholarship is given to the individual. It is not given to the institution. Now, the student obviously probably spends the scholarship or a large portion of it on the educational institution that they're going to. But I have a problem. Most K through 12 school choice proposals and voucher and private, and we have school choice, voucher proposals would give money straight to the educational institution. I think that's a problem. I think it's a problem in the sense that it's money that goes away from the public education system. We have had a good public education system. I don't think the problem is that the public education system structurally cannot be good, right? That there's some sort of foundational problem with public education, that it requires public money to go to private education, that it requires us to effectively privatize part of our public education system. I think we had a great public education system that produced the greatest generation, that produced the workforce that gave us so many of the advances in our past decades. The question is, how do we fund it better? How do we reform it better? The idea that the best way to fund our public education system more adequately and to reform it more adequately is to privatize it? No, sorry, you're not going to get me to believe that. It doesn't make any sense. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're talking about the new report from the Census Bureau saying that Colorado funds its education system among the lowest of any state in the country. What do you think about this? Danny in Denver. Danny, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good.
I have a problem with the voucher system and, you know, a lot of other things they do to take away from the public education system. It's just like, you know, we're saying, you know, we give up. We can't fix the public education system, so let's try all these other things. You know, I mean, you know, focus on it, fix the system. You know the issues. You can deal with it. But all this other stuff is just a bunch of fluff, and, you know, the vouchers is Republicans' way of taking money from the public system. So anyway, that being said, I wanted to come back and, you know, and say, you know, I personally believe, you know, that funding of, you know, education has everything to do with, you know, technology and things like class size. I mean, those are hardcore things, you know, that money can actually help. I mean, can you imagine one more assistant in a classroom helping the teacher deal with a classroom of 30, you know, the 35 kids? You can't tell me that wouldn't help. You know, can you imagine a teacher having, you know, something other than an overhead? I was telling John, you know, how, you know, I followed my daughter through school, and I go to her class, and I sit in, and I remember one time sitting there and watched the teacher show an overhead projector that was half on the ceiling and half on the wall because that's what she was using. She could have had a screen. She could have had an LCD. She could have had a computer. And, you know, all this would be pretty, you know, technologically advanced and helping kids, especially our kids today who look at, you know, videos and are, you know, pretty attuned to learning things through, you know, visual stimulation.
Absolutely. I mean, and these are, you're talking about capital investments, and you just can't get around the idea that that's money, right? I mean, to lower class size, you need to spend money.
That's right.
To have a computer in a classroom, you need to spend money. There's no, I mean, and you could make the argument, hey, they have, you know, the school system has to spend the money more efficiently. And I'm not gonna pretend that there's not waste or excessive spending in the school system. But by the way, there's waste and excessive spending in corporate America. I mean, all you got to do is look at a business section today and see that. There's waste in every big institution. And I'm not absolving it. It's not acceptable. It needs to be rooted out. Everything needs to be made more efficient. But the idea that just because there's excess and there's waste in an institution, that it doesn't mean you don't need to better fund the institution, that's not a logical argument. And I completely agree with you that especially on the basic fundamentals of education, that make an education system work. We all know it's not rocket science to know that if a child gets more attention from an educator, the child is probably going to get a better educational experience. That's basic common sense. In order for the child to have more attention, in many cases there need to be more teachers. There need to be, and more teachers meaning smaller class size, more individual attention. In order for the child to have a good educational experience, you're right. Technology is a major vehicle towards that. Those two things, as just two examples, cost money. When you are the 49th out of 50th in the nation in terms of what percentage of your income you're putting towards education, you are probably going to sacrifice precisely those kinds of things that make your education system successful. Danny, thanks for the call, man. Great call.
All right.
823 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. We're discussing this new census report out today saying that Colorado, well, it says Colorado is the 40th out of 50th in terms of funding per pupil its education system, its K through 12 education system, 49th out of 50 in terms of what percentage of our individual income we are putting towards education. So we are we are way below the national average on how much we are putting per pupil towards education. Do you think this is a problem? Or are you on the Denver Post side? Its editorial today says, hey, it's not a matter of how much we fund education. You know, some school districts fund, some places like Washington, D.C., for instance, they fund their education system at a much higher per pupil level, and they have much worse test results than the Colorado school system. So we shouldn't just, quote unquote, throw money at the situation. Where do you come down? Do we need to better fund our education system? Or is our education system shortcoming here in Colorado? Shortcomings? Is it not about money at all? 303-713-7600. 824, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thanks, Dave. Traffic really brutal on 225, especially for you southbounders. Now, these stop-and-go jams start all the way back at I-70. Your only relief is really from Alameda down to Parker Road. Also going to be stop and go as you approach the tech center. So expect to add about 15, 20 minutes to that drive. We had a couple earlier crashes on northbound I-25, one at Yale, one at Santa Fe. Both have been moved now, but still a lot of residual traffic heading northbound towards downtown. Same deal on the southbound side, leaving North Glen, and again after I-70. Just one surface street crash out there right now, Quebec and Arapahoe, that's a new one. And really a pretty standard drive going on. Eastbound approaches in the city, kind of full on 6th Avenue, beginning at Sheridan, and on 36, beginning at McCaslin. That's going to take you down to Foothills. Opposing traffic there on the turnpike, also busy from Pecos to Wadsworth. Forecast, mostly cloudy, good chance for thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs in the lower 70s. Right now, 62 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the
Hello? If your brain's not responding to the signals that you're full, you'll probably continue eating.
Come on, don't be that way.
Eating and eating some more. With Leptothen, you get the message. You are full.
Oh, finally!
Visit GoGetThin.com. That's GoGetThin.com. Or call 888-700-DIET. And for a limited time, buy two bottles of Leptothen and get one free.
Open to your business, there were a lot of people with you, standing by your side as you follow your dream. But now that you're established, who's with you? At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need help. With our business financial review, we'll evaluate your business's needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Heads up, everybody! Now you can get Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost for $19.99 a month for 6 months. So that means we really gotta bust our hump. I'm gonna need some experts on this one. So Mixmaster, I need you to handle music downloads.
Now, beats and lyrics, look to me. I'll kick them from your laptop to your MP3.
Big Eddie, I need you to beef up virus protection.
Sure thing, boss. As soon as I find my brass knuckles.
Shutterbug, I need you to handle the photo center.
I'll do it now. Fast. Happy. Cool. See ya.
And White Lightning, make those downloads speeds faster than ever.
Done.
Great. Get right on it.
No, I made him fish. It's done.
Get the biggest value in internet. Comcast high-speed internet with Power Boost lets you download your favorite movies and music lightning fast. And the McAfee security suite is included. Get it all right now for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Call 1-800-COMCAST today.
Offer ends 7/31/09. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Limited to performance service for new residential customers. After promotional period, regular charges apply. Equipment installation and taxes extra. For more information, visit Comcast.com.
Yim refers to leading women's 50-plus multivitamin brands. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, 27 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking about... We're going to be going back to healthcare, but we're going to take a little different look at it, and I'll just preview it here. There are six senators who are basically crafting the entire bill, and these six senators represent overwhelmingly white, tiny states. And the question we're going to delve into is whether you think that that's, whether that makes you a little bit nervous. The idea being that six senators from very, very small, extremely undiverse states negotiating a health care bill for 300 million people, whether you think that's whether that gives you, makes you a little bit nervous. Makes me a little bit nervous. So stick around in the 9 a.m. hour. We will get to that. It is really, really the white male power structure at work. It's going to be a good debate. We'll probably have to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. But first, in the rest of this hour, we will continue our discussion about the education report that came out from the Census Bureau saying that Colorado funds its education system, its K-12 public education system, at among the lowest of any state in the United States. What do you think about this? 303-713-7600. We'll go back to the phones. Let's go to Dave in Denver. Dave, you're on AM 760.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Thank you. Really, this is a case that really ties back to some of the other discussions you have, and that basically the rich are not paying their fair share. And I want to be completely precise in saying I don't mean income taxes. I don't mean sales taxes. I mean tax on wealth, wealthy people. And let me give you some examples here. One of the richest school districts in our state is the Pitkin County Aspen School District, right?
Right.
I'm sure you've heard of that, right?
I think I have.
Okay. They basically pay 10 mills to run their school. And the average for the state is over 40. So in other words, a property owner up in Pitkin County is paying one-fourth of what someone else in the state. And then another couple of very wealthy districts in the state. Remember, I'm talking wealth here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about money in the bank, money people own,
mm-hmm.
are Boulder and Denver, because both Boulder and Denver have a very high proportion of really commercial property, which basically pays much higher tax than does residential property, but, of course, has no students sending to school, right? And so they end up paying less of their wealth in school taxes than to say like Adams 12, which is sort of sandwiched right in between Boulder to its west and Denver to its south. And Adams 12 pays the highest mill levy in the state, over 63 mills. And this is where we, the state, are not taxing the rich. We're not taxing the wealthy. As a matter of fact, we're letting them get away paying much less tax on their wealth than other people in the state. And remember, the state as a whole gets its money mostly through sales tax and through income taxes. And those aren't taxes on the wealthy, though.
Right. You make a good point, and I will plead a little bit of ignorance in the sense that lots of different states, the local taxpayers pay their local property taxes, and there's a certain percentage of that goes into the state coffers, which is then redistributed equally or more equally to the rest of the school districts, and then a certain percentage of it just goes to the local school. So a lot of these, and I will plead ignorance in not knowing the exact
answer. Let me give you the answer. Here in Colorado, none of the property tax goes to the state. None.
So in other words, so if that's the case, if that's the case, this is really where this is a situation where local communities are deciding for themselves what kinds of educational funding equations, what kind of educational funding levels they want to have. So I mean, in a sense, this is really the report that has come out is really a reflection of self-inflicted wounds, not one part of the state doing something to another part of the state. This is what local school districts, in terms of their property tax rates, are doing to themselves.
But David, the point I'm making is that the rich districts like Denver and Boulder get away paying half the property tax that, say, Adams 12 pays. And yet these are the same people living in the same metro area having to pay the same taxes. And even though at a state level there's an equalization fund, only applies to operating costs and not to building costs.
Mm-hmm.
So the poor people in Adams 12 have already taxed themselves twice the state average to try to make up for it. But the problem is that the rich, the wealthy people in Denver and in Boulder are not paying their fair share, and it should happen. And the crazy part is these are both Democrat districts.
So what's your solution?
What we should have is we should have a state property tax that then goes into the equalization fund, and that equalization fund should also include building expenses, not just operating expenses.
And that makes sense. I mean, this is always the vexing part of education funding debates, which is that local communities do not want. There's this. Well, I shouldn't say they don't want. The fulcrum of an education funding debate all throughout the country tends to always be between those who say, look, I want my property tax money staying in my school district. I don't want it going out of my school district. And then you've got other people who say, you know, who read the book, for instance, Savage Inequalities, right? The book where Jonathan Kozol in Chicago takes a look at two schools separated by a couple miles, one up on the North Shore, the rich North Shore of Chicago, one in inner city Chicago, and how different they are by virtue of the fact that, well, among other things, that the wealthy school district's money stays only in the wealthy school district, and the poor inner city school district's money stays in that district, but they don't have as much money. And so you've got these gross disparities between school districts. And this is always the debate. And where I come down is, look, a state is a community. We have to make sure it's good for our state to make sure that there aren't such gross disparities among our school districts. Of course, this Census Bureau report is talking about the overall state funding. And so we've got, I think, like most states, we've got a disparity situation in terms of the funding of our schools between school districts within Colorado, and we've got an overall problem, I think, according to the Census Bureau, that we are not adequately funding our overall school system at the level that the rest of the country is. Dave, great call. Thanks for the call, man. 8:35, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The discussion continues. Are you one of those folks who believes, hey, we can't throw more money at the school system, that's not the problem of the school system, or hey, we don't have a problem with our education system, everything's great in our education system? Or are you somebody who reads this story from the Census Bureau and say, wow, this is just another piece of evidence that Colorado's political culture is dominated by the me, anti-tax culture? What do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Got a new accident. It's a messy one. Eastbound C-470 at University. Four cars involved in this one here. Going to start tapping the brakes, and it's going to be stop and go from Platte Canyon all the way up into Highlands Ranch inside of that crash at University. Stop and go jams also on southbound 225. It's loosening up from I-70 to Alameda, but still really, really sluggish from Parker Road down to the Denver Tech Center. And another crash, Quebec and Arapahoe. That's in Littleton area, Centennial. Also got some jams on westbound 36, first from Pecos to Wadsworth, and again from McCaslin out to Boulder Road, Foothills Highway. And looks like the rain has ceased up in the mountains, so things looking a little bit better. Your forecast today, patchy fog will turn to mostly cloudy skies with a high around 70 degrees. Another chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 o'clock this afternoon. Right now, we're sitting at 63 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado. For talk.
Hughes College of Professional and Continuing Studies encourages working adults to examine customizable master's degrees for working adults online or evenings. Classes start September 14th. UniversityCollege.DU.EDU. That's UniversityCollege.DU.EDU.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show.
The miles ahead. Let Midas keep your car ready. Midas is total car care. From replacing your brakes and changing your oil
to a full range of tire services, factory scheduled maintenance, tune-ups, and advanced diagnostics. And great service comes with great value. Just go to Midas.com for special offers. For total car care, trust your car to the experts. Midas, we're on this road together.
When you're protected by Identity Guard, you will experience an unimpeded life.
That's right. I'm going to waste even more time noodling around on social networking sites.
Our company has helped over 20 million customers of leading U.S. banks actively manage their identity exposure. So we know what the dealio is.
I will fearlessly use my credit card in any restaurant, in any city, in any country, even Brooklyn.
Identity Guard scans everything from credit bureaus to public records, alerting you 24/7.
I am going to expose myself anytime I feel like it. Oh, wait, that didn't come out right.
And should the unthinkable happen, Identity Guard covers you with our $1 million loss insurance. It will make you want to say,
let's go, life! Let's go!
Let's go, life, indeed. Identity Guard. Live a more streaming life. Call 877-ID-GUARD now or visit identityguard.com. That's identityguard.com.
Your parents will count as 50% of your grades.
Mr. Lerner!
Do any of you have an apple in your lunchbox? I'm hungry.
Yes, it's a tough economy, but there are great jobs out there. Post your resume right now at denverhelpwanted.com.
.39 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Going up to into the 70s today. Another cool, grayish kind of day in this bummer of a summer. So far, it's been a bummer, man. This weather just bums me out.
Greatest summer ever.
You think it's great?
Yeah, this weather's awesome.
Oh, it's the worst.
We only had like a 3-4 week summer. It was great.
I hate it.
Hot heat.
I want the sun. I like the hot, dry heat.
We'll get some sun in August, man. This has been a nice surprise for us this year. You should be happy.
I moved here for the sun. I want the sun. Anyway, that's my complaint. We're talking about education. Finishing up this hour, talking about the big Census Bureau study saying that Colorado is among the states that least funds its K through 12 education system. We are 49th out of 50th in terms of the percentage of our personal income that goes to K through 12 education. That stat is derived from what they do is they take the total amount of personal income that is reported in Colorado, and then they take the total amount of money that Colorado spends on K through 12 education, and they see a ratio. And in terms of that ratio, we are the 49th out of 50th, below even some of the poorest states in the country like Mississippi, Kentucky, Alabama. What do you think about that? Do you think that that's okay? Is that acceptable? Should we not, quote-unquote, throw money at the education system? Is the education system's problems in this state, do they have to do not with money but with education structure? Or do you think this is just a symptom of an overall me culture that is eating away at the common goods here in our state? 303-713-7600 is the number. Lisa in Colorado Springs. Lisa, you're on AM760.
Hey, great topic. My point is that the educational debate in Colorado is dominated by the charter forces, and they foisted a lie on taxpayers, which is that charters are a financial wash, but they cost $5,000 to $6,000 more per pupil than regular district programs that produce no added achievement, and they're highly segregating. And this is very, very intense debate, and they're very aggressive. They're trying to get more money. They're holding hearings this week, and I've been attending them. It's very frightening. They're really destroying public education.
What particularly about charter schools? What is your particular beef with them?
Charter schools, basically, they're private corporations. Every one of them is. It's just a mock voucher program. They're run by quasi-religious people and are draining our district programs because every single charter program costs taxpayers $5,000 to $6,000 more and takes $475 per Colorado pupil out of district schools. And it's absolutely obscene when we have the highest per pupil funding we have ever had in Colorado that we are closing down our neighborhood schools, 11 in District 11 alone, just because charters are so insanely inefficient. Their administrative costs are 40 to 50%. They pay zero in the unfunded mandate, and every other child in district program pays 15% off the top of their PPR funding and unfunded mandates. Everything charters do are inefficient and ineffective, segregating, and they are trying to plot their own future. They recruit charter schools to charter schools. They are not public organizations.
Well, and that has been the criticism of charter schools, that they are not publicly accountable, and that they at times don't save money and don't produce better results than the normal public schools. I will plead a little bit of ignorance here. I don't like to pretend that I'm an expert on everything. I can't stand people who pretend to be an expert on everything. This is an area where I don't exactly know where I fully come down. I'm nervous to say that all charter schools are one way or the other and all public schools are one way or the other. The issue with education, and particularly education, is that there's so much variance across different communities and across different examples. I mean, you can have a great public school right adjacent to a terrible public school. You can
right side is, David, that we have schools of innovation which allow waiving schedule, salaries, and other agenda items from union contracts that allow parental affinity groups to originate unique programs in schools, and they can do this throughout the state now, and these programs can be delivered at half the cost of charters with all of the uniqueness, all of the customization.
Well, and I'll agree with you on this score, which is that I am definitely wary, highly wary of any effort that seeks to undermine the basic public education system, and public, really, you know, underline, underscore,
absolutely,
public. I am very, very aware. The burden of proof is on those institutions and activists who want to undermine the public schools to really, really prove how that's better for society. Because the public education system is really one of the foundational parts of our civilized society, and to undermine it, I mean, you know, you never thought war would be privatized. We saw that with the Iraq War, and in some ways, the public schools are sort of the last defense before we start saying privatization is okay in everything. Lisa, thanks for the call.
Bye.
8:45 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We're talking about the new Census Bureau report saying that Colorado funds its public education system at among the lowest states in the nation, 49th out of 50th in terms of the percentage of personal income we put towards our K-12 education system. What do you think? Is this a bad news? Is this not news? Do you not care? Do you think the problem of our education system has nothing to do with resources? It has to do with structure. It has to do with accountability. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Neil in Fort Collins. Neil, you're on AM 760.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for taking my call. First of all, I just wanted to say something. It seems like when it comes to the discussion of education, everybody is suddenly an expert on how to fund it or what the problems are. One, I have an issue with the fact that people seem to vilify this word public. I mean, and if it said it's public, it must be bad, it's wasteful. There's this general perception that's conveyed out there that it's a bad thing versus private, which is somehow this is the ultimate American way and it's the only way to go. Okay, there's that general argument. Two, people tend to understand that when it comes to education, there's a lot more than money just going to the student. I mean, there's maintenance in terms of buildings, upkeep, technology changes, and things of that nature. This is very expensive. And it does require money. And then third, you got to look at how a lot of this is measured. Everybody seems to exalt the test scores as the ultimate measure of whether.
And I have thoughts on that. I'll let you go first, but I have thoughts particularly on that may be controversial on the whole test score issue.
Oh, as a teacher myself, I have issues with the whole test score thing in the first place, because the idea that we have to apply free market forces and market forces of competition and all these economical theories applied to education, it's so counterintuitive to the whole nature of education, because it's more of a process. This idea that we have to commodify it and have people compete. Well, there's so much unequal competition out there in the first place. It's comparing apples to oranges. I mean, the idea that private, you know, I hear this a lot, private's so much better, you know, so much better. Well, yeah, it's private for a reason, because one, you pay for it out of pocket. And if everything was private, then it wouldn't, you know.
Right. Some people would have access to it and some people wouldn't. Well, my take on testing is this. And some people may think this is controversial. I think we got a problem in this country where there are all sorts of pundits and media people and political activists who are ideological in nature, who say that that the way you measure your education system is purely, as you say, by commodifying it through tests. And I think this is absolutely crazy for two reasons. First and foremost, teachers can teach to the test. And I encourage everybody to go watch, I think it was season 4 of The Wire, that does a really, really good look at what happened and what that means, teaching to the test, and how that doesn't really educate kids. And so the test, if you're allowing teachers to teach the test, then the test is really not necessarily evaluating educational achievement. In some ways it is, but in a lot of ways it's not. More broadly, and this is a really important point. You hear a lot of pundits say, well, you know, Chinese test scores are could be better than America's test scores. Well, here's the thing. One of the beauties of the American education system has been that we've tried to teach kids to think innovatively, to think creatively, to think outside the box. That's one of the reasons our economy, I think, is so vibrant, because we've been able to produce a workforce that has some more of that creative innovation. If you start standardizing and, as you said, commodifying everything by simply teaching to tests, you take out that intangible, right? If you're teaching only to standardize tests, only, and a lot of the folks who call for this say they want standardized tests specifically focused on math and science, as opposed to potentially more creative, sort of left brain kinds of stuff, you're gonna strip out that intangible from your education system. And I think, look, I think if the testing is important in terms of the absolute bare basic minimum. By that I mean, yes, you have to set standards. Kids need to be able to read. They need to be able to do basic arithmetic, right? I mean, there are certain basics that I think we should be testing for pretty aggressively. But they should only be for the basics. There should be a lot of latitude in the education system for individual schools to really encourage creativity. And creativity comes from the teacher teaching creatively, which is then teaches kids to learn creatively.
Well, I completely agree. I mean, I think test scores are typically nothing more than snapshots in time. And on top of that, they're very expensive in terms of the standardized tests that school districts have to purchase. And you know, the whole thing is there's a whole new industry and business around that, where I think that I do think there's lobbyists that tend to push this idea that, you know, there's people making money off this, like Jeb Bush, for example.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
there's some sneaky ways they work their way into this.
And that's the whole, I mean, we could do a whole radio show on ETS and the education profit system behind the testing. The pro-testing, the obsessive pro-testing lobby, if you will. Hey Neil, I got to take a break. Thanks for the call, man.
Thanks.
8:51 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. After the break, we'll hit more of this conversation about the new study on Colorado's education funding levels. Also, after into the 9 a.m. hour, we're going to open up a new topic on health care. Is there racism going on in the U.S. Senate that is unduly impacting and distorting the healthcare debate? You're going to want to stick around for that. But first, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Still working this crash involving four vehicles. Eastbound C-470 at University. So getting out of Littleton and towards Highlands Ranch going to be a little bit of a struggle for you. These stop-and-go jams begin at Platte Canyon. Don't break free until after university, and should be pretty clear all the way up to 25 after that. Stop and go conditions, southbound 225 Parker Road to the Tech Center. Also got a couple Circus Street crashes, one on the ramp from 76 to southbound I-25, and another at Quebec and Arapahoe. That one should be cleaned up and out of your way here shortly. Residual traffic northbound 25 University to Santa Fe, and on westbound 36 Sheridan to Wadsworth. Both those stretches going to show speeds in the 30s. Your forecast, mostly cloudy. Good chance for thunderstorms throughout the day. Highs in the lower 70s. Right now, 63 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
What can you do if your baby is crying? If nothing seems to work and you're getting frustrated, you should put the baby in a safe place like a crib, playpen, or car seat, and take a little break. Learn to recognize when you're frustrated and protect your child. For more tips, visit comeacryingbaby.org.
Are you a tech-savvy mom with a blog? Earn money from it with Google AdSense.
Gateway Park Fun Center, Boulder's destination for miniature golf, for go-karts, for the driving range, for batting cages, for birthday parties and group outings.
Make a wish, honey.
Swing by Gateway Park Fun Center. Open daily at 10 a.m. at 4800 North 28th Street, Boulder's destination for summer family fun.
Where is my life headed? Will I find true love?
Should I change careers?
When you have important questions, California Psychics has answers. Over 150 gifted psychics available 24/7, helping people just like you. And California Psychics makes this promise. If your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
My California Psychic experience was primo. I was just astonished. I never expected that.
Secure and confidential. California Psychics has done over a million readings. Just call 1-800-PREDICT. 1-800-PREDICT. And if it's not the best psychic reading you've ever had, it's free.
First, I had the chills and I felt choked up.
Our psychics will help you find love, happiness, and your true life path. Need someone to listen? Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. 1-800-PREDICT or visit CaliforniaPsychics.com. Remember, if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever experienced, it's free.
I definitely think California Psychics was the best psychic reading I've ever had.
8:55 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. After the 9 a.m. news hour, as I said, we're going to get into an issue that has been little discussed, but I'm sure it's going to be controversial. Is there racism going on inside the Washington debate over health care? Pretty incredible, I think. And I'm not going to give away what I think's going on. You'll have to stick around into the 9 a.m. hour. Here in the last couple minutes of this hour, we're going to take as many calls as we can on this education issue. New report says Colorado is funding its education among the lowest levels of any state in the country. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600. Cheryl in Denver. Cheryl, you're on AM 760.
Hi, David. I really appreciate your thoughtful discourse on this show. I am a teacher, so I really agree with the gentleman who called you, the last call from Fort Collins. Education is a process, not a product, and charter schools are the business model and the competition model, and schools and public education have never been about competition. I think the worst thing you can do is try to put a public school in competition with a charter school, and let me explain why. We are now, charter schools, we are now going back to segregation, only this time it's segregation by ability. Because whether or not they admit it, charter schools cherry pick. You know, they don't take the troubled kids. They don't take the special, the kids with special needs. And so they cherry pick by ability. And so therefore, what you have, is a, in public schools, not only are you not helping low performing schools, but it's a vicious cycle.
Yeah, and one caller brought up the idea that, well, you know, you want a public option in healthcare to compete with private insurers, why shouldn't we have private education companies compete with public education on the same grounds? Well, the difference is that a healthcare outcome is measurably more you can quantify it much more empirically than an educational outcome, right? You either live or you die. You're either healthy or you're not. You either got a clean bill of health or you don't. In education, the only way that you can really purport to get such quantitative results is through testing. And there's that I've gone over what the problems with that is. If you just judge every education system by what kind of test results it produces, you know, you're not does test results, the way they're administered now, do they really measure fully educational achievement? You know, there's a lot of people out there who are brilliant who can't take who don't do very well at standardized tests. There's a lot of teachers out there who can teach their kids to the test, but they may not be teaching their kids other things, other intangibles. So it's a false comparison, and I agree with you. Anything that undermines the public education system, I think, is a real problem. And the idea that the public education system should be subjected to free market forces, that's really what should go on. That's the way to solve this. I just don't buy it, because how well a child is educated, you can't just measure it through a number. There's so many different intangibles. It's not like healthcare. Again, healthcare, you either live or you die. The results are really obvious. Good point. Thanks for the call. All right, last call before we got to get to the national news. Let's go to Tony in Lakewood. Tony, you got about 20 seconds.
Hey, no problem. That lady that was talking about the charter schools, you know, a couple callers ago, and the segregation that was going on, I don't know what this lady's talking about. My son goes to a charter school, and there is a mixture of everybody at this charter school.
Yeah, I don't want to – I mean, here's the thing, Tony. I don't want to wade into – I don't pretend to be an expert on everything, and this is one issue that I'm far from an expert on. I don't know, you know, some charter schools you hear great things about, other charter schools you hear really not good things about, and I guess what I'm saying is that there's got to be a way to find to deal with this issue, to deal with charter schools, with public schools, in a way that doesn't undermine the public education system. I don't think charter schools necessarily have to inherently undermine the public education system, but I think people have brought up points where, in cases, that they do. Thanks for the call. All right, stick around. Is there racism in the healthcare debate in Washington?
Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News, I'm Nick Young. With months to go before the start of the influenza season, a federal advisory panel is trying to prioritize who will be vaccinated to guard against a resurgence of swine flu. Here's reporter Sabrina Gibbons.
At the CDC here in Atlanta, the Immunization Advisory Committee is sitting down right now trying to decide who they think should get the new H1N1 swine flu vaccine once it's available. It's expected the committee will recommend that healthcare workers, children, and pregnant women be first in line.
New research says pregnant women are especially at risk from the H1N1 virus. Denise Jameson of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says mothers-to-be should contact their doctors at the first sign of the flu.
Pregnant women shouldn't just show up on their doctor's doorsteps. They should call first, because the practice should have in place some way to evaluate patients with influenza symptoms without potentially contaminating the other well women who are there.
Now, senators working on a health care reform compromise have reportedly negotiated $35 billion in Medicare savings. And while the haggling continues on Capitol Hill, President Obama is taking his health care pitch on the road again.
I'm Peter Mayer in Raleigh, North Carolina. This state is one of the hot spots in the health care reform debate because moderate and conservative congressional Democrats could provide the deciding votes when the final proposals reach the House and Senate floors. That's why President Obama is spending the entire day here and in Virginia trying to build grassroots support for health care reform.
The Pacific Northwest continues in the grip of a heat wave, and high temperatures mean conditions just right for a major wildfire. Reporter Chris Sullivan, CBS affiliate KIRO, has that story.
People have been grabbing keepsakes and family treasures and leaving their homes in the path of this 700-acre wildfire. Lieutenant Maria Agnew with the Chelan County Sheriff's Office says 140 homes have been evacuated and more homes are threatened.
Done those notifications, and then we've done approximately 50 level 2 evacuation notices, letting people know the fire is close and we may not have time to get back to them.
A Red Cross shelter has been set up at the local high school. Chris Sullivan for CBS News, Seattle.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates says the U.S. may increase the pace of troop withdrawal from Iraq in the wake of a drop in violence.
I don't think there's anything in the cards for a slowdown, and I'm not going to get into any specifics, but I think there's at least some chance of
a modest acceleration.
Gates made the remarks after consultation with his top Iraq commanders. Microsoft and Yahoo are teaming up. The 10-year deal is aimed at taking on Google's position as the web's dominant search engine. Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer says the company's upgraded search engine Bing will get access to Yahoo's big audience.
The partnership we are announcing today will help to create a stronger number two and increase competition in the search area.
In return, Yahoo keeps the lion's share of search ad sales for 5 years and will have the right to sell advertising on some of Microsoft's sites. Checking stocks at this hour, right now the Dow is down about 39 points, the NASDAQ off 10, and the S&P 500 down 5. This is CBS News.
Individual results may vary. Program not available in all states. See contract for complete terms.
If your credit card debt is out of control, if you're in over your head dealing with monthly payments, there is powerful information you need to know about the government's bailout of credit card companies. If you have more than $10,000 in credit card debt, you have the right to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, with monthly payments you can afford. Credit card companies have been given billions and need to clean their books once and for all. And that's great news for you. We're Credit Answers, and we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt with payment plans customized for you. It's yours free by calling 1-800-400-0907. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and learn how we have saved our clients millions. Live better, debt-free. For free information on how to settle your credit card debt in a government bailout era, call 1-800-400-0907. That's 1-800-400-0907. 1-800-400-0907.
I'm David Kao with an AM760 local news update. Wheat Ridge police are looking for a man who may have sexually assaulted a number of women. Police believe 31-year-old Carlos Mays uses Live Links, a chat line where multiple people dial in, to meet women. A woman who agreed to meet Mays in person told police he forced her into his vehicle and sexually assaulted her. The Denver Post reports Wheat Ridge police want the public's help in locating Mays. There will be a few more cops and deputies on Colorado's streets. More than $5 million from the stimulus bill heads to the state for police and sheriffs.
We are awarding $1 billion in Recovery Act grants through the Community-Oriented Policing Services, or COPS, Hiring Recovery Program.
Attorney General Eric Holder says the money will support the hiring and rehiring of 23 officers and deputies in the state. A watchdog group says Colorado is second best in the nation for letting residents know how stimulus dollars are being spent. The Colorado Public Interest Research Group released rankings today on how well states explain stimulus spending on their websites. Sports: Mets shut the Rockies out 4-0. Game 3 of that 4-game set is tonight in New York. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Todd Parker now with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're looking at some big delays on C-470 across Highlands Ranch. That due to an earlier accident that occurred in those eastbound lanes right around University. There's also activity on those ramps, 70th and I-25. A cement truck rolled over there. Northbound I-25, still a bit sluggish once you get your way past DU on towards Alameda. Same deal for westbound 36 after Sheridan. Surface Street crash at Quebec and Arapaho. Hopefully that one will be out of your way shortly. Time for a quick check on today's forecast. It's going to be a mild day temperature-wise with a high of about 72 degrees. As the clouds roll in, so do our chances of seeing some afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Currently, it is 67 degrees. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Save with all new super price reductions at King Supers. You'll find them on products like half gallons of Kroger orange juice.
From Consumer Reports, savings round the clock. I'm Reese Sprantz. Early birds don't get only worms anymore. They're eligible for discounts on all kinds of stuff. Later risers needn't feel slighted, though. They'll probably find other deals. Especially in times like these, with merchants scrambling to get customers in the door, time-of-day discounts are plentiful. Here's a roundup of some timely bargains. Air travel. The cheapest time to fly depends on your route and other factors, though you'll often find the least expensive seats are on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Saturday flights. The best time to book a bargain seat is midweek, Tuesday afternoon through Thursday. Bowling. For the best rates, go before 9 or 10 a.m. or sometimes after 9 p.m. Car washes. Deals can be had if you drive in early, before 8 or 9 a.m. Farmers markets. Sellers rarely want to haul their bounty back to the farm, so look for deals near closing time. Golf. Tee off by 7 or 8 a.m. or after 3 or 4 p.m. Tennis. You'll often save by starting your game as early as 6 or 7 in the morning, or late, like after 9 at night. Movies, matinees, usually in the morning or early afternoon, are a traditional money saver. And finally, restaurants, even some high-end places, now offer early bird specials and other tasty inducements. Look for lunches starting before 11 and dinners at 4 or 5. Night owl specials often begin around 9. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
We all know that there's nothing worse than having to wait in line to go potty. So spare a thought for the astronauts on board the International Space Station who are having to do just that after one of their toilets broke. As teams of specialists in Houston and Moscow work on a solution, the 13-member crew also have the option of using low-tech and rather crude collection bags from the Apollo era.
Austrian fashionista Bruno has burst onto the silver screen to very good but not incredible reviews. In this follow-up to 2006's Borat mockumentary, creator Sacha Baron Cohen once again dances perilously close to the edge of the comedy cliff. Prepare for one of the most outrageous, insensitive, elaborate, offensive movies of recent times.
When it comes to operating systems for your computer, you don't really have many options. After Windows, Linux, and Mac OS X, you'll struggle to think of any more. Thankfully, the guys at Google want to add one more to the list, Chrome. Based on their 9-month-old web browser of the same name, Chrome will initially be created for low-cost netbooks and will be created with the help of the open-source programming community.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
Brace yourselves for a bit of Idol drama. Paula Abdul may not be returning for a 9th season. According to her manager, contract negotiations have stalled. And, as he told the LA Times, Paula is hurt and angry about the whole situation. There are even reports that she was reduced to tears after receiving tweets of support by her fans. Yes, she interwept. Idol returns in January.
It's about, I mean, the basic premise of the book is that a lot of what we learned in our pop culture and our politics became so much a part of pop culture in the 80s that a lot of what we learned still sticks with us today. And this, to me, is like the most obvious, right? This, like, you know, the Gates issue is a chance for, or the Republicans see it as a chance. I don't know if it's going to be a chance, yeah, but they see it as a chance to resurrect all of the politics, the anti-affirmative action, the Willie Horton, the white backlash to the civil rights politics, the welfare, all of that was really seared into the American psyche in the 80s. That's all that this really is. That's the birth certificate issue. That's the Gates issue. That's the whole thing. And I mean, am I wrong in thinking that this is a party that really still is just stuck in a formula that, while it worked really, really well in the 80s,
yeah,
just doesn't necessarily work right now?
Well, it certainly it does seem to be sort of a return of the Pat Buchanan white man under siege mentality, which was obviously, you know, we saw in the late 80s and early 90s, and obviously peaked with Pat Buchanan's convention speech in 1992. And I think after that, the Republican Party sort of saw the extraordinary damage that that mindset created. And since 92 to, you know, heading into 2010, I mean, obviously the country has only become more brown and more black and more diverse. And yet, I think you're right, the Republican Party is sort of going back to the old playbook. I mean, Howard Feinman made it actually a good point the other day when he said...
Shocking.
He said, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying, you know, when the river is shallow, you know, you can sort of see the base. And so I think the Republican Party during, you know, the Bush years had a very robust following, and now they've sort of emptied the pool a little bit, and now we're seeing what's sort of left in the base. And it is sort of that old Barry Goldwater, Pat Buchanan, you know, far right, white man under attack mentality.
Right.
And that is now serving as the base.
Well, I wonder, you know, how much of this is, look, it's driven by the right wing, but I wonder how much of this has also been internalized by the media itself. I bring this up because, and maybe this is inevitable, but like every single time Barack Obama deals with any issue of race, it's like a switch is flipped in the Washington media that's like, oh my God, a black guy is talking about racial issues and siding maybe with black people, and this means the sort of implication is that he is an ethnically motivated politician, or he runs the risk of being seen as an ethnically motivated politician, right? Barack Obama as Jesse Jackson. I mean, how much of this has been so seared into the way Washington covers issues of race that it's like a default setting. It just sort of, it's like the kind of thing where Jon Stewart was making fun of the media where they're like, oh, Barack Obama made the Gates thing a front page story. Well, no, he didn't make the Gates thing a front page story. You know, he gave a 10-second answer that the media made into a front page story. So how much of this is like a sort of symbiotic sensationalism between both the right wing that's got a political agenda and the sort of assumptions and reflexes of the mainstream media?
Well, I think the press would, loves to dwell on these issues. And it's amazing that Obama has only really set off firestorms, you know, twice in the last 16, 18 months, one with Jeremiah Wright and now with Gates. It's incredible that as an African-American politician and president, he's been in the front page news for the last 500 days, and he's managed to sort of avoid this topic of controversy except twice. But the two times that he did, that it did come up, I think the press is dying to, you know, it's such an easy topic for them, and it's an emotional, and it gets everyone involved, and there's, you know, really no reporting to be done.
Right.
It's just sort of this very emotional hot button issue, and, you know, sort of, they use it to, you know, the guys they use is to sort of address race relations in America, and of course, you know, the other 498 days over the last period, they don't care about race relations in America. I mean, it's not a serious topic.
Right. I mean, like, it's like this like formula. It's a fake facade.
And what it is, I think it's a great hot button issue. And I think, you know, they were hoping with Obama they could sort of hit on this all the time, but he's just not going to play that game again, except for these two times. But yeah, I think it's a phony topic. They're not interested in race. What they are interested is not having to write about healthcare.
Right.
And
that's
they'll
right.
do anything physically possible not to, because it bores them to tears, and all it is.
Well, and you had the guy on, what was it, CNBC, who said, you know, Dylan Radigan, you know, healthcare is not good for our ratings.
That's right.
Why we shouldn't, you know, it's a topic that affects 300 million people, but
right,
apparently
right.
it's not
it's
not good for their
change in the way America functions and its economy and healthcare. It's not interesting. I mean, who cares about Senate markup sessions?
Right, and it's so easy for folks on TV to say that. Most of them, probably all of them, have like pretty good healthcare. We're talking.
That's right. It's a total disconnect. But Ray's, it's you know, there is no reporting, there is no analysis. You just play the loop. You know, you play the soundbite over.
Right, and
over,
then you, and on your TV show, you put Pat Buchanan against
right.
somebody, you put against an African American.
You put a black against a white, and you just sort of sit back and, you know, pretend it's journalism. So it's easy. I'm not, in terms of how the DC press comes down in terms of race and things like that, I'm not so sure that they have sort of a horse in this race. I think they just love having
I don't think it's ideological, right? I mean, I think they're like a carnival barker, right? It's like a circus, you know what
right.
I mean? It's
and
like
so now when Glenn Beck calls Obama racist,
right, it opens up it's another ring in the circus.
And so even Chuck Todd, you know, on MSNBC online this morning, he was like, whoa, what is this? But at that point, it's too late because, you know, they've been playing this game, they've been playing with the fire, not so much MSNBC or Chuck Todd, But they've let this, you know, bonfire to sort of go on with the birthers and with Gates. And so when, you know, when Glenn Beck races to the front of the irresponsibility line and says the president is racist, some people like Chuck Todd look around and say, wait a minute, what are we doing?
Right.
But it's too late because, you know, that barn door is wide open and Fox is going to go wherever it wants to go. So that's the danger. Once you,
it's like self-fulfilling.
It's like
a self-fulfilling cycle. We're talking to Eric Bollard of Media Matters about the trends in what's going on in the media. And, you know, it bums me out, right? It just, as you know, I can't blame Obama. I think Obama has had to do his best Cliff Huxtable impression.
Yeah.
I mean, that has been the Obama formula, and I do not blame him. It is Barack Obama as Cliff Huxtable, as the guy who never addresses race, you know, very, very subtly if he does. And when he does, he tends to make some headlines where he's admonishing the black community,
right,
or saying, you're right, like, be more responsible. It's also that Barack Obama doesn't offend white America. And I'm not blaming him because he knows that there's an entire media architecture out there to take anything that he says that could be taken to be pro-African-American as him being an ethnocentric, old-school, quote-unquote, politician. It's really, and what bums me out about it is that, you know, this should be a moment where we've got a president who can really, who is uniquely qualified to actually create a mature debate on race. But in fact, what we really have is a situation where almost, it's like a double-edged sword. Precisely because he is African-American, it makes it in some ways harder.
Impossible.
To have any kind of discussion on race.
Clinton had much more leeway and probably had more success as a Southern white, you know, addressing issues of race during his 8 years.
Well, and that seems to me to be the whole thing about the press, right? Anytime somebody breaks, quote unquote, breaks convention, breaks what they're supposed to do, then they have supposed credibility. So the anti-communist Nixon goes to China, and he can do that. And
right.
Bill Clinton is a Southern white, so he can talk about race because Southern whites in politics haven't typically been the greatest, most progressive spokespeople on race. It's like only when you break convention, like when John McCain is working with Democrats, then John McCain is like, you know, some great hero,
right?
As opposed to the fact that he's been voting with Republicans for 99% of the time. Yeah. I mean, so it's like, that seems to me to be, it's like if you're somebody who's been fighting the good fight for years and years and years, You're just not newsy anymore, even though you've been fighting, like, you know what I mean? Like Ted Kennedy, Max Baucus is the big healthcare story, not just because he's the chairman, because he's a Democrat who's sided with George Bush every now and again. You know, forget Ted Kennedy, forget, you know, the liberals in the Senate who've been good on healthcare for years, because that's what they're supposed to do. I mean, doesn't that create just we can't even, it just so distorts the discussion of any of these issues.
Yeah, and if you talk about the healthcare debate right now in terms of the politics and things, you know, suddenly the press is obsessed with, you know, these blue dog Democrats.
Exactly.
The blue dog Democrats, they hold the cards and they're fiscally conservative and there's absolutely no context whatsoever with the coverage of blue dog Democrats. And because they only have America's best interest in heart, they just can't bring themselves, they really want to vote for healthcare reform, but they can't sleep at night thinking about the budgetary.
Well, let me interrupt you.
And there's no connection with a lobbying policy.
Nothing.
Any of that stuff.
And let me ask you as a final question. We're talking to Eric Bollard of Media Matters because I am really obsessed with this. Have you noticed, am I wrong to notice that in the coverage of the healthcare debate and the blue dogs, that, and I wrote a post on this on openleft.com this morning, which is about the idea that the assumption is that because the Blue Dogs represent culturally conservative working class districts in the typically in the South, Midwest, and West, interior South, Midwest, and West, that's why they're going to bat for the health insurance companies. That this story, it makes no logical sense that because you represent a place in rural Arkansas, that your voters love guns, and they're not so great on, they're not so fond of gay people, that means that they love private health insurance corporations. I mean, this is the assumption. I mean, this is right. It goes unexplained. It just is right. It's stated as a fact that, oh, Heath Shuler comes from Appalachia, interior North Carolina, and that's why, you know, he doesn't want a public option. I mean, how has it come to the fact?
Right, there's a total disconnect.
There's no explanation.
Right. There is no explanation. There's no hint that any of these people receive a dime, let alone hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right. And that's the story, right? Because it should be, well, listen, if you represent a working class, culturally conservative district, you're probably going to want to bash the HMOs.
Exactly.
But the actual story is the reason why somebody from a place like that is shilling for the HMOs has everything to do with money and nothing to do with their district.
It's true. And the other total disconnect is we're seeing, you know, the press hyping this Republicans are on the verge of this win-win. You know, if they can just kill health care reform, it's going to decimate Democrats. It's going to decimate Obama. And forget that the latest poll showed that 72% of Americans want health care reform. Boy, if the Republicans can just kill this legislation that a strong majority of America wants, they're going to hit the gold mine. They're
going to
hit the
political jackpot. Where does that come from? I mean, Chuck Todd or David Broder or any of these people, I mean, I can't believe they're stupid. Like, is it just that they want to create the drama? Is that it?
I think that has a lot to do with it. And they're so inundated within the beltway of these Republican talking points that, you know, all Republicans have to do is battle, is defeat Obama, whether it was on the stimulus. You know, they essentially defeated him because they didn't vote for him, which is this completely new idea. And now if they can just kill this legislation that a vast majority of Americans want, you know, boy, they're going to be in the driver's seat.
It's an alternate reality. And unfortunately, it has an effect in the sense of, if it doesn't have an effect on public opinion, it certainly has an effect, and it's a big effect. It certainly has an effect on emboldening the Republicans in Washington to be more obstructionist than perhaps the actual political climate in the country warrants. Eric Bowler,
and it has an effect on Democrats as well.
Oh, I should have mentioned that. You're absolutely right. The Democrats behave more frightened than they should behave. You're absolutely right. Eric Bollert of Media Matters, his book is Bloggers on the Bus, just got a great review in the New York Review of Books. Eric, thanks for taking the time this morning, man. That was Eric Bollert of Media Matters. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. All right, we're going to shift gears after the break, talk about a topic that gets no coverage in the media. Is there racism, subtle racism, at the heart of the health care debate? Have you noticed that the 13 people who are obstructing Obama's health care reform, who are at the center of the obstruction, 12 of the 13 are white men, and that all of them represent mostly the smallest, whitest states and congressional districts in the country? Does that give you pause? We're going to explore that and more after the break. First, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Traffic's really starting to improve for us, Dave, as these freeways clear around town. Residual traffic in the normal spots. You can guess southbound I-25. Going to be a little heavy from I-70 past Spear Boulevard. Same deal heading on southbound 2 1/4 Parker Road down to Greenwood Village there at the Tech Center. Seeing the daily construction being set up. CDOT getting set up around the city. Colorado 58 shut down between 93 and McIntyre Street in Golden. Got some work going on in Wheat Ridge. Colfax between Kipling and Wadsworth. Also have it on Sheridan around Mississippi. Quincy at Bellevue and 104th and I-25. Your forecast, patchy fog will turn to mostly cloudy skies with a high around 70. Another chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 o'clock. Right now we're at 68 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The moment you realized you could be your own boss was big. Now comes another moment. The economy has changed and you need guidance. At Wells Fargo, we're with you when you need someone by your side. With our free business financial review, we'll evaluate your banking needs to help ensure that you have the right tools in place so you can keep doing what you love. We're a small business financial leader, so rest assured that we can help you. Call, click, or stop by and talk with a Wells Fargo banker today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
I didn't become Magic Johnson overnight. I had to set goals and go for them. If your goal is getting the best for your family, Rent-A-Center puts it in easy reach. Choose from top-name brands like Sony, Ashley, Whirlpool, and more with no credit checks, no credit needed. And Rent-A-Center backs it all with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Because sometimes we need a little assist with our goals.
Money-back guarantee must be exercised within the first week of possession. See rentacenter.com for complete details.
Hi, my name is Alan Matthews, owner of 3M Construction. Have recent storms damaged your roof, siding, or windows? Time to file your claim could be running out. Don't get scammed by out-of-town predators knocking on your door and sponging off our local economy. Call a local company that you've heard of. 3M Construction has the experience to give you a quality job and the knowledge to work with your insurance company to get your home repaired fast. Call us today, 303-774-8005. That's 303-774-8005. 3M Construction, a proud member of the Better Business Bureau.
America's Next Top Model.
The winner of American Idol.
Dr. Drew has his work cut out for him.
As the first season of Discovery Channel's Pitchmen drew to a close, infomercial star and series frontman Billy Mays passed away in his sleep at the age of 50. The series followed Mays and his longtime business partner and fellow pitchman Anthony Sully Sullivan as they attempted to market new inventions and products. No word yet on whether Pitchmen will be renewed for a second season.
It's 9:28 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. All right, we're going to get into a touchy topic here in the last half hour. New York Times writes a story yesterday about the six senators who are basically have commandeered the health care debate. The Senate has basically outsourced the entire health care debate to six bipartisan senators. Max Baucus of Montana, Olympia Snow of Maine, Mike Enzi of Wyoming, Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico. That's four. I forget the other two, but they're both from smaller states. I'll try to pull them up. But basically, these are six senators from extremely sparsely populated and extremely white states. On top of that, you have seven House Democrats in the Commerce Committee threatening to halt the health care bill. And these are primarily from the South. They are all white men, and they all represent extremely white and not diverse districts. I've run the numbers. This is probably going to be my column for the week, but I ran the numbers on these 13 people, just to give you an example. And these 13 people have basically commandeered the entire healthcare debate in Washington. And we have a country that's about 15% Latino and about 12%, 13% African American. And in aggregate, their districts are have about half of that percentage of minority populations. On top of that, these people represent roughly 13 million total people in a country of 300 million people. So you got two issues, I think, going on here. First, you've got a healthcare debate that should be involving representatives of 300 million people by representatives of just 13 million people. Right? So you've got 4%, people's representatives of 4% of the country commandeering a debate that should be involving representatives of far more people in the country. So that's the first thing. You got a real lack of democracy going on here. I mean, we got literally, I mean, for instance, Wyoming and Montana, Enzi and Baucus, two of the six, two of the biggest players of the six. Those two states have less people in them combined than probably Colorado Springs, Denver, and the Fort Collins Front Range area, right? Just, you know, those two states. I mean, those two states have less people than probably a borough of New York. Now, getting to the demographic component here, we know that African Americans and Latinos are disproportionately affected by the healthcare crisis because they are disproportionately lower on the income scale right now, and yet these two populations which have such a, therefore, a vested interest in healthcare reform, are basically completely underrepresented among those who are hijacking the healthcare debate in Washington. Right? I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it's causative, but is it really shocking that the people who are trying to stop healthcare reform are those who represent districts where they don't have the most vested communities in healthcare reform inside their districts, or are less well represented in those districts than they are in the United States as a whole? I think what you're seeing here is the old, a very good example of what Bill O'Reilly called, and he celebrated it, of course, the white male power structure. 12 of the 13 people we're talking about, the 7 Blue Dogs and the 6 Senate, the 6 senators, 12 of the 13 of them are themselves white men. And as I said, in aggregate, their districts are far more white, far less ethnically diverse than the rest of the country. Is this impacting the healthcare debate? Is the fact that these 7 people are the one, or excuse me, 13 people are the ones stopping or slowing down or stalling healthcare reform, does that have something to do with the fact that they come from districts that are basically not representative of the United States as a whole? We know that polls show that most Americans want healthcare reform, and yet we've got 13 of these people who are trying to stop healthcare reform. Is it a coincidence that these 13 people come from places that are not representative of the United States as a whole? Now, I'm not saying they don't deserve to be at the table. Yes, Wyoming deserves to be at the table. Yes, Montana deserves to be at the table. Yes, Colorado, but Colorado deserves to be at the table. We're not at the table right now. We don't have any of those 13 people representing us in that debate. So are we being, is this healthcare debate being distorted by the fact that you've got really a very clear example of the white male power structure hijacking the from a country that is not only white and male? 303-713-7600 is the number. 303-713-7600. Give us a call. Let's open up the AM 760 Progressive Dojo, if we can. There it is. All right. Harold in Longmont. Harold, you're on AM 760.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you're a pretty reasonable guy, but you just spent a half hour with the guy from Media Matters talking about how, you know, race is you know, like a straw dog in all these discussions.
Well, I don't think it's a straw dog. I mean, I don't think race. What I'm saying is that I think what tends to happen on issues.
Like, you know, Glenn Beck saying Obama's a racist.
Yeah, I'm not.
You know, the racist card is just getting thrown around like it's a piece of toilet paper.
Well, hold on, hold on. I am not saying any of these individual senators or individual lawmakers are racist. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying,
that's what you did say.
No, I did not. I did not say it. What I said is there subtle racism going on in the healthcare debate? I'm not calling anybody a racist.
Okay.
What I'm saying is, you've got we know that you've got specific communities that are more that have an especial interest in healthcare reform. I mean, a lot of people have an interest in healthcare reform, but certainly we can agree that the populations that are disproportionately impacted by the healthcare crisis are the ones that have a particularly vested interest in healthcare reform. And what I'm saying is that when you've got a situation where you have 13 members of Congress, in a Congress of 535 people, 13 members of Congress who are hijacking the entire healthcare debate, and they just happen to come from places where the communities, the specific communities with the most vested interest in healthcare reform, are completely underrepresented, I think there's a problem there. I think there's a problem that 12 out of the 13 people who are hijacking the entire healthcare debate for 300 million people are white men. And all of them are white. More importantly, I think there's a problem that most of them don't represent any minority communities or very, very small minority communities. And they represent districts that don't have minority communities that are representative in terms of their size of the country as a whole. And so I think there's a connection between these 13 specifically hijacking healthcare and the fact that they represent places that don't look like America, an America that polls show wants healthcare. Now, do you disagree?
No, if you put it that way. But, I mean, you know, everybody's got their representatives in Congress, and if they put these guys on the committee, then apparently it was okay with the, you know, with everybody, I guess.
Well,
I
and that's and Harold, that's a good point. I mean, that, what you and I agree. I think that part of the blame goes to everybody's member of Congress, not just the, not the 13 who are hijacking it, but I want to know why my congressperson is outsourcing the writing of that of a bill for 300 million people to just 13 of these members of Congress who not just aren't my own congressperson, but don't represent a community that looks like my community, that looks like a diverse community. You're right. The other Congress are certainly just as complicit. Harold, thanks for the call, man.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
9:37 here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. We're asking the question, I'm asking the question, do you think there's a subtle, latent kind of racism going on in the healthcare debate in the sense that the 13 people who have hijacked this debate, six senators and seven House members who were threatening to stall the entire debate on behalf of 300 million people, happen to all be, well, 12 of the 13 of them are white men, all of them are white, and more importantly, they represent overwhelmingly small states and districts, sparsely populated states and districts, that are far less diverse than the rest of the country. And as we know, minority populations, the African-American community, the Latino community, have a particularly vested interest in healthcare reform because the healthcare crisis disproportionately impacts their communities. Is it a coincidence that the people holding up healthcare reform are those who represent some of the least diverse places in the country? 303-713-7600. Let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Well, we got a couple problems to let you know about. Jackknife semi-trailer reported at 70th Avenue at I-25. Also got a car fire southbound I-25 around Castle Pines Parkway. Trying to get that on the camera, but not really seeing it, but that is being reported there by CBS. Rest of the drive looking pretty darn good for us. Even traffic back in the 50s and 60s on I-25 around downtown. No problems on the turn Piker on 225 in between Aurora and the Tech Center. Also looking good coming in on 6th Avenue as you approach Denver. But we do have a lot of construction going on around the city. That might cause you some delays, but they're in those normal spots. Your forecast, mostly cloudy, good chance for thunderstorms throughout the day. 70s right now, 68 in downtown. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Enjoy a less stressful commute today with help from Rider Rangers. Call 303-458-POOL or visit drcog.org for a free list of carpool partners or van pools in your area. That's drcog.org or 303-458-POOL.
My name is Marcia, and I'm an empath, so I can feel what other people are feeling. I'm also clairvoyant, so I can see clearly where relationships are going, where people's lives are going.
At California Psychics, we thoroughly test our psychics to make sure they're professional, have real gifts, and communicate clearly. Only 2 out of 100 psychics who apply are selected.
California Psychics is legitimate because of the screening process that I personally went through. I had to give readings. They had the readings confirmed. They had different people check me out. And it was an intense process.
That's why California Psychics promises that if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free. Just call 1-800-PREDICT, 1-800-PREDICT, or visit californiapsychics.com.
My purpose in life is to help other people to realize who they really are and to empower them to reach their goals.
Call 1-800-PREDICT or visit californiapsychics.com. And if your psychic reading isn't the best you've ever had, it's free.
From Consumer Reports, some common camera goofs. I'm Ernie Sprantz. As part of a test of digital cameras for the July issue, Consumer Reports surveyed some 8,200 online subscribers about the care and feeding of their digital cameras. Many failed to make the best use of their new point-and-shoots. 66% didn't regularly clean the camera lens. You should clean the lens before each use. This minimizes the risk of focusing problems and blurry areas on pictures. 45% left photos in their camera for at least a month. Photo files should be copied to a backup device, like a hard drive, soon after capture. This reduces the risk of theft or deletion. 39% didn't know whether the camera had scene modes, image stabilization, face detection, or burst mode. These features make shooting easier and can improve your photos, so check the manual for features you may be unaware of. 28% of those surveyed told us they cleaned the lens with a shirt sleeve, household tissue, or canned air. You should clean your lens gently with a microfiber lens cloth and lens cleaning fluid. This way, you won't scratch or otherwise damage the surface. And finally, for those upgrading to a newer camera, 13% disposed of their old camera in the trash. If possible, sell your current camera, give it away, or recycle it. I'm Ernie Sprantz for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
.42 here on AM760 Progressive Talk. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Question of the hour is there racism, subtle racism, and a lack of democracy, I should also add, distorting the healthcare debate? Right now you got six senators, Max Baucus of Montana, Olympia Snowe of Maine, Mike Enzi of Wyoming, Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, and Kent Conrad of North Dakota, basically making all of the decisions about what comes out of the Congress on health care. Now, these people, if you think about those states, Montana, Maine, Wyoming, New Mexico, Iowa, other than New Mexico with its fairly sizable Latino population, five out of the six of those states are among the top, the least diverse, most white states in the country. Is that a coincidence that a group of all-white senators from the whitest states in the country are the ones obstructing health care reform? I'm not saying it's necessarily fully causative, but I think there's a connection there. That if you represent a place that doesn't have communities that are most affected, and we're all affected by the health care crisis, but the African-American community, the Latino community, is disproportionately affected by the healthcare crisis. If you represent a place that doesn't have those communities, it's politically easier, potentially, to obstruct healthcare reform. I think it's pretty obvious. Am I wrong? 303-713-7600. And what about the lack of democracy? What about the simple fact that senators primarily from very, very sparsely populated states are making the decision for 300 million people? I mean, these six senators represent something along the lines of 6 or 8 or 10 million people, right? I mean, Wyoming, God love Wyoming, right? I mean, Wyoming's 500,000. Why should Wyoming's 500,000 people have more of a say over health care reform when their state's population is less than a neighborhood in New York City? And I'm not saying New York City should have undue influence, but you get my point here. There is a real lack of democracy happening here. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Speaking of Wyoming, we'll go to Steve in Wyoming. Steve, you're on AM760.
Hey there.
Hey there.
Excuse me, I'm a little nervous, but as I'm listening to you and I'm crawling out of my skin listening to you, because, of course, as you said, Mike Enzi's up there doing us proud, and we hired him to represent us and our views, and he's representing my view. I can't speak for everyone in Wyoming, but he's representing my view. He's doing exactly his job. We don't want the health care. He's doing his job by holding it up. And these other constituents.
Well, okay. You're completely entitled to that feeling. And you did it. You folks in Wyoming did hire him. Now, let me ask you this question though. The question is not whether you want him to be doing what he's doing. The question is whether you think 500,000 people in Wyoming should have a far bigger say over health care than 16 million people in California. Because that's what's going on.
Is my rights and my views not as important as
are 500,000 people's views are 500,000? Well, no, but it's not just because you live in Wyoming. You get a senator, of 500,000 people get a senator. 16 million people in California only get one senator. Do you think that's fair? Do you think that's democratic? Do you think that's one person? You think that's one person, one vote? You do? No, it's not. It's not one person, one vote. It's a, you are saying that you think that your vote, you as a Wyoming voter, your vote should be 32 times. No. You're saying you think your vote should be 32 times more important than somebody's a voter in California. That's what you're saying, because you're saying you're completely fine with 500,000 people in Wyoming having a far bigger say on health care through Mike Enzi than 16 million people in California whose senator, who only get one senator, and whose senator isn't at the table. And the fact that you think that that's fair is crazy.
You're putting words in my mouth. I didn't say that. What I'm saying is I want my state to have an equal vote to any other state, because just because I live
but then
in Wyoming,
you know what? Then you're
that's
fine, but you're endorsing you're endorsing a lack of democracy. I mean, that's what you're doing.
Well,
you're endorsing tyranny. What you're saying is that a state of 500,000 people should have as much of a say over health care for 300 million people as 16 million people in California. That's what you just said. You're saying that, and I'll put it in Colorado terms, you're saying that 500,000 people in Wyoming, which is the population of Wyoming, should have a bigger say over health care than, 4 million people in Colorado. And it's your right to say that, but I think that's fundamentally anti-democratic. And I think we have right now in the Senate a tyranny. We are watching an anti-democratic tyranny of very, very sparsely populated states. And I got no offense to sparsely populated states. I lived in Montana. I love Montana. I think Montana voters should have a say in national affairs. Do I think that a voter in Montana should be able to have a far bigger say than a voter in Colorado? Just because their senator happens to be more senior in the Senate? No. I think that's a problem. I think that's undemocratic. And I am a Democrat, small d Democrat. Thanks for the call. And I'm not surprised, by the way, that somebody from Wyoming sees it differently. You know what? In Wyoming, you're right. You got it good. The tyranny works for you. The tyranny is working for you. Your vote is more important than our vote here in Colorado, because we don't live in a democratic system. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to Renee in Denver. Renee, you're on AM 760.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the way the racial history of our country continues to influence and determine politics, including the healthcare debate. And I'm going to start out with, on NPR this morning, they were interviewing people in the small town in West Virginia.
I heard it.
Did you hear that?
I did.
What he said? Two children were on Medicaid.
Right. His two children are on Medicaid. I want to play that. I'm going to try to dig up that clip for tomorrow. The guy says he's in Virginia, and he says his two kids are on Medicaid, but he's against Obama's plan for government-sponsored health care. Of course, his kids are on government-sponsored health care. And he says, he's worried that the health care package, universal health care, will disproportionately help minorities. That's what he said.
At the expense of whites.
That's right.
He said. And I'm hearing this remark, and I'm thinking, what planet is he on? How on earth could health insurance be racially determined? And then, I just thought back how you have to remember the weird history of our country, the accommodation that was at the heart of the founding of the Republic, and the dispute over slavery finally erupts into the Civil War, followed by Jim Crow and discrimination and the Confederacy, the Confederate States.
That's right. Look,
and it all goes back to race. And then the Republicans come up with the Southern strategy. What is the Southern strategy? It's realizing that racist Southerners would be more comfortable in the Republican Party than, for odd historical reasons, in the Democratic Party. They peel them off.
What I'm trying to get at here. You're making a very good point, which is that the lack of democracy in our system protects the white male power structure. That's what's going on here. You have a constitution that created a Senate where it was two senators from every state, no matter how many voters or how little voters are in those states. So Wyoming's two senators have as much legislative power as 16 million people's senator from California. That is fundamentally undemocratic. And I don't, if you're going to call up and say you think it's fine, it's a good thing, fine. But it's undemocratic. I mean, it's not, that is a violation of the principle of one person, one vote. And it exists. We're seeing a good example here of how that exists to preserve the existing white male power structure. Six senators from states that represent all of 10 million people hijacking a health care debate that affects 300 million people. And they happen to represent states that are some of the least diverse places in the country, places that don't have the communities that are especially hard hit by the health care crisis. And I think there's a causative relationship there. I think that's not a coincidence. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. You can weigh in on this conversation. Obviously, it's stirred up some passions. I'm sure we're going to get some callers from Wyoming saying that they should have a 32 times the Senate representation as somebody in California. 32 times, remember, because that's what it is. There's 500,000 people in Wyoming. There's 16 million people in California. So those folks are saying that their 500,000 voters should have as much representation in the U.S. Senate as somebody from California. You're allowed to believe that. That's fine. You're allowed to believe that. But don't try to come on here and say that that's a belief in democracy. That's not a belief in one person, one vote. All right, let's get a traffic update with John Turk.
Thank you, David. Traffic really good around Denver. Highways in the 50s and 60s on 225, I-25 in and out of downtown. And on the Turnpike on the south end, C-470 jumping in the 60s. Do you have a closure in Golden? Colorado 58 shut down between 93 and McIntyre Street. Also, check this out. CDOT reporting that you may have delays up to an hour on I-70. On both sides, east and westbound, I-70 around Vail, they got some single lane closures between mile markers 197 and 201 for paving. So do expect some pretty major delays up there if you're on I-70 around Vail. Your forecast, patchy fog, turned to mostly cloudy skies out there. Look for a high around 71, another chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms after 2 p.m. today. Right now it's 69 in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Celebrate a new high in gaming. Higher stakes and longer hours are here. Play blackjack, roulette, and craps in the canyon's beautiful new pit. But don't wait. Win the new Nissan Cube July 30th. Earn entries daily playing blackjack, slots, and video poker. Visit canyoncasino.com for details.
Blowing bubbles in the bath can be, well.
Hi, this is John Elway. I could have gone anywhere for LASIK, but I selected Icon LASIK right here in Denver. Icon has performed over 65,000 LASIK surgeries in Colorado using the latest custom laser technology. And Icon makes LASIK more affordable starting at $4.99 per eye. Schedule your free LASIK consultation today at 720-524-1001 or visit iconlasik.com. That's 720-524-1001. And tell them John sent you.
Consumer Reports, cooling your home. I'm Maurice Sprance. The most common mistake people make when it comes to air conditioners is getting the wrong size. Underestimate your cooling needs and you could end up sweating. Overestimate and you'll have a cold, damp space. Before installing a central air system, have a contractor do a load calculation to determine the required cooling capacity. This step is an important one as well if you're upgrading an existing system, since changes made to improve your home's energy efficiency, such as replacing windows or adding insulation, can reduce your cooling needs. On the other hand, if you've added living space, you might need more cooling. After the required cooling capacity has been determined, focus on installation. Adding a central system is relatively straightforward if you already have ductwork for your heating. But if your home doesn't have ducts, adding them can be expensive and messy. If you're in this camp, consider a split ductless system instead. Split ductless systems are similar to central air in that they can cool multiple rooms but need no ductwork. Choosing a reliable central air system is crucial because breakdowns are inconvenient and costly. According to our latest product reliability survey, Trane, the market leader, along with Rheem and Rude, were less likely to need repairs than those from Goodman and Heil. Of course, central air isn't right for every home. Recommended window air conditioners in our next report. I'm Maurice Sprance for Consumer Reports, online at consumerreports.org.
Today on the Front Range, we're going to get back to this topic, I think, tomorrow, because I don't think we had enough time to debate it. But the question remains, is it a coincidence that the 13 members of Congress who are holding up health care happen to represent the least populated and least diverse states in the country? And is that a subtle form or a subtle example of the white male power structure. Remember, 12 of the 13 are white males. All of them are white. One is a female. Is this a subtle example of a white male power structure that seeks to stop change? And is it also a sign of a lack of democracy where, you know, Wyoming's one senator who represents 500,000 people has far more legislative clout and power now over the healthcare debate than Colorado's senator who represents 4 million people? I think that's a lack of democracy. Zach in Cheyenne. Zach, you're on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey, Dave.
Hey.
I don't like Mike Enzi, and he knows my name probably because I called it. Well, he probably doesn't, but the office does. I call him all the time. Complain about a 10-point plan that he has, which is basically just giving more money to health insurance companies and more power. But, you know, I think they put it in, you know, initially as to give these smaller states a voice. Because, you know, in the House, you guys have total control. I mean, California can do whatever they want, and we really, you know, as a small state, have no say-so with one representative in California.
But the other side of that is... It should be one person, one vote. I mean, that's democracy. I mean, the small states don't just are having their prerogatives protected. We have an example now where it's like the small. I mean, we're talking about four of the six of them are from Maine, Montana,
Wyoming,
New Mexico, Iowa, and North Dakota. I mean, these are states with very, very few people. This is not the small states having a voice. This is the small states having the only voice. And that's what I'm saying. It's an example of that, and I think it's a problem. Zach, sorry I had to cut it short, but I gotta get out of here. All right, we're going to hit this topic tomorrow, so tune back in. I know it's a hot topic. Until then, I'll be working on my book.
How would you like to lose weight for free? Hi, I'm Steve Buck.
Hi, it's Mario, and I recently visited Lauer's Hardwood Showroom, and I love Beetle Kill Wood products. The all-natural lodgepole pine is environmentally neutral and can be stained or left au naturel with its distinctive blue-hued beauty marks. Lauer's Hardwoods has Beetle Kill flooring, paneling, 2x4s, and logs. It's beautiful, price perfect, and environmentally neutral. Visit Lauer's in Lakewood and say Mario sent you and get 10% off. Call them at 303-205-WOOD or lowershardwoods.com.
I knew within a few days, I've finally found the answer. I've lost 44 pounds.
Right-sized smoothies contain an appetite manager called Apamine that knocks out hunger cold. You'll see results early, so you'll know you can do it.
How much weight can you lose in 2 weeks? Try Right-Size free and find out. You could be our next testimonial.
For your free two-week trial, call 1-800-900-0805. That's up to 30 free smoothies. 1-800-900-0805. 1-800-900-0805.
Ed Schultz is coming to Boulder with a tour for change. August 30th, Big Eddie will broadcast live from the CU campus talking about health care reform. Get more details, ticket information, and your chance to win tickets at am760.net. AM 760.